Welcome to the A-Dub Club, a podcast usually about sci-fi, fantasy, technology, pop culture, the internet, and general nerdery, but today all about one thing, because it's another Star Wars spectacular, this time on Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. There are three things that are important to know. One, we occasionally use swear words, but try to stay in the range of PG-13, or at least the kind of R that cool parents are fine with. Two, we may talk spoilers. In this particular episode, we discuss, perhaps obviously, Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, and we discuss it for only barely less than the runtime of the movie itself, so be warned on multiple fronts. And finally, three, most importantly, one of the main reasons John Williams came back to score episodes 8 and 9 is because he loved the character of Rey so much that he didn't want any other composer to score her. With that out of the way, welcome to the clubhouse for another Star Wars spectacular. We have more space snacks. Welcome to the A-Dub Club. My name is Andrew Whipple.
I'm Alex Wade.
And here we are, at the end of an era, back, not I guess where it all began, because it all began in, like, one of the random classrooms in one of the assorted buildings of Lakeside High School. But,
wow, it's the end of the decade for A-Dub Club, isn't it?
Dang, that's true. It hasn't been a full 10 years of doing it, because it was 2012.
Wow.
That'll be... this is tangential, but a thing that I was talking with Bryn, who I was hanging out with beforehand. Shouts to Bryn if I keep this in the edit, about the fact that our 10-year reunion is coming up in like 2-3 years, and that's going to be weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
That's going to be a riot. I'm excited for that. I didn't go to the 5-1. I wish I did, but...
5 was fun. It was nice to see people that I hadn't seen and candidly hadn't thought about in several years. And it's perfectly lovely to get to hang out with them again.
And forget them for another 5.
Well, yeah. You're not wrong. But that is not what we're here to discuss. We are here to discuss an end of another kind of era, the end of the era of the Star Wars movies. Because this episode's question is...
Star Wars trilogy. Latest Star Wars trilogy.
Okay, sure, sure. Well, we'll get into that more. This episode's question is very similar to what we did 2 years back, I guess. What did you think of Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker? Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Pretty much about that. So I guess a bit of front matter then before we actually get into the whole thing, like with the Last Jedi episode a couple of years back, which you can listen to if you want. It's available wherever fine podcasts are found and wherever not so fine podcasts like ours are found as well.
Great podcasts like
ours. You can listen to that episode. But like that episode, we're going to first talk a little bit non-spoilery, though we are going to give like general opinions on it. So if you count, like, do we think it's a good movie or not as a spoiler, then maybe just skip this whole episode entirely until later. But, you know, we'll make it clear the point in which we get into like actual plot spoilers. And from that point on, we will just spoil everything with abandon from this movie, from every Star Wars movie, probably from some other random movies we decide to talk about as well. And also this will be a long one. Fair warning. I think the last one was like an hour and a half, and this one will probably be at least that.
For sure.
Two other bits of front matter that I want to call out before we get into the stuff. Number one, Bryn has not seen Rise of Skywalker yet, but
what?
I was just hanging out with her, and her opinion that she wants declared on the podcast is she is prepared to hate it because she doesn't like J.J. Abrams and didn't like The Force Awakens.
Oh my God.
Because he makes turns Star Wars into an action movie rather than having room to breathe in the earlier movies.
Was it Force Awakens, J.J. Abrams?
Yeah.
So he directed the beginning and end of this.
Yes.
That's hilarious. That explains a lot.
Yeah. But she hasn't seen the movie yet, so she doesn't know if she's going to like it, but she's prepared to hate it. I'll also say, I guess we'll get into it when we get into more of our stuff. If what you hate about this movie is things are more like an action movie and there's not enough room to breathe, then maybe this is not going to be the movie for you.
No, it will not.
Other second shout out is to Grandma Carol, who listens to this podcast despite not caring at all about any of the stuff that we ever talk about. So if you're listening to this, thank you. And I appreciate it. And I appreciate your dedication to listening to this dumb bad podcast.
Thank you. I'm so happy to learn the names of one of our viewers.
Like a full sixth of our listenership.
Yeah,
right there.
Thank you.
Thanks
so much.
But you also have permission, if you don't want to listen to an hour and a half of us talking about Star Wars, to not.
Yeah, this is a lot. This is a lot.
This one will be much. Okay, that was my front matter. But yeah, overall thoughts on the movie beyond a long sigh.
Okay, unspoiled thoughts of the movie. Okay, so yeah, to Britain's point, it is a extended action movie. So there was something in the production, apparently. So Princess Leia, they apparently just used scenes of her from the last movie that were cut. So they made the whole movie around those scenes, or as much of the movie as they could, based around Leia being in the movie and those scenes.
Yeah, I think that, I think there were scenes that they were...
That shows.
They were stuff from The Force Awakens that was originally... that got cut out of the movie. And then repurposed and written around.
That... that makes a lot of sense because there was so many different plot holes in the movie that were just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then there, I also feel another thing about this movie did not care about was the last movie, The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
This movie did not care about The Last Jedi. Like, it ignored so much of what happened in The Last Jedi just because I guess J.J. Abrams doesn't like Rian Johnson.
Like, who can say? Who can say? So yeah, so I guess to sum that up, you weren't a big fan of Star Wars.
No, I was not. I will give it one thing though: the writing of it, I enjoyed a lot of. And by the writing, I mean specifically the dialogue.
Yeah.
But also there were times when I didn't like the dialogue.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
it's a very annoying conundrum because there were a lot of times was like, oh, that was like a great line, or that was hilarious, or whatever, great bit. And there were times when I just rolled my eyes at the writing. Among the many other things that I rolled my eyes at, the writing was also what I rolled my eyes at sometimes. It's a very, it was a conundrum of a movie in a lot of ways.
Conundrum's a good word. I like that.
Yeah, it had some, it had some positives to it, so it's like, it wasn't all bad, but the bad overwhelmed the good.
Yeah. I agree with that mostly. I didn't love the movie, and especially on first viewing, I don't think I necessarily even liked it all that much. I grew on it more the second time that I saw it, but it's still certainly not without faults. I mean, reductive to rank everything, but certainly my least favorite of this new trilogy.
For sure.
Probably my least... It's probably only... Like, I like it more than any of the prequel movies, and I think I like it more than Solo or Rogue One, but it's probably my least favorite of the original trilogy and this new trilogy, at least as where I'm thinking right now. But still, gotcha. That ends up netting out, and maybe it's just because of how much nostalgia I have for Star Wars and how much I'm willing to forgive in a Star Wars movie compared to a non-Star Wars movie. It still netted out to, like, I think on Letterboxd I gave it like 4 out of 5 or something like that, of like, yeah, it's a movie that I enjoyed and liked, certainly in... It's like in the top 20 of movies that I saw this year, or something like that.
I'd say 3 out of 5 for me.
Yeah,
just in the context of being a Star Wars movie, being the third in the trilogy. If like you took it out of that context, like if it was alone, if it you knew nothing about this movie and nothing about Star Wars, and you saw this movie and it was just like a space action movie.
Yeah.
Then maybe I'd give it a 4 out of 5.
Interesting. I kind of feel like I feel the exact opposite, is that the things that bump it up to a 4 out of 5 are the Star Warsy bits of it. And if you were just to take this on its own, it'd be like, all right, it's a fine enough movie. 3 out of 5.
Maybe not the Star Warsy bits. I guess I want to be more specific. I want to say the third in the trilogy, because there's a difference between those two things. So the fact that it was the third, like, I felt like this movie just completely skewed away from what the last movie was doing.
Yeah.
And it's see, when you said before that J.J. Abrams, he directed the first one, and I that makes a lot of sense to me, because the first one was, you know, supposed to be like a carbon copy of A New Hope in a lot of ways, which it was. The second one, Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I don't know why I can't do names. But The Last Jedi, like, went in a completely new direction that, you know, it took risks. I remember saying that about in our last podcast. It took a lot of risks, some of which didn't pay off, but they were still risks that they took, and they were in a different direction than what Star Wars does, which is what I think what Star Wars is about, is going in a different direction. It does do interesting different things, was what the original trilogy did. So if you try to recreate what the original trilogy did, that is already failing to do what the original trilogy did.
Sure.
That makes sense.
Exactly. which is actually always a thing that comes in whenever you're doing an adaptation, whenever you're doing like a reboot or a sequel or a thing like that, where it's the question of, do you, especially if it's something where it's like a reboot of a thing that was influential and is from a long time back in different cultural context, do you aim for recreating the thing, or do you aim for recreating the feeling that the thing created in the audience at that point in time? And those are two very different things, and both can be done really successfully, and not different projects work better when it's leaning towards one or the other. That's actually interesting now to think about, like, the overall trilogy, whereas I think that this movie definitely leaned more on just trying to recreate Return of the Jedi in particular. Last Jedi recreated a lot of the feeling of watching a Star Wars movie, but didn't necessarily recreate, even though actually there was a lot of interesting plot points parallels with Empire Strikes Back, but it kind of recreates the feeling of watching Star Wars. I think Force Awakens kind of does both, at least for me. It's like, it felt like I was watching a Star Wars movie, but it also, like you said, was mostly A New Hope with some clever inversions and commentaries
for sure
on A New Hope.
There were absolutely some additional things they did, you know, in Force Awakens, but The Last Jedi, like, I think for me, the biggest, I guess, reveal was like that Rey's parents were no one.
Yeah.
And like that was a huge thing. I was like, that moment, I probably clapped in the theater or was like, yes.
Interesting. Okay.
Because I wanted that, because it's new, it's different. Yeah. And it's like the fact that the main character isn't the, you know, son of the main bad guy, which I'm, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so what else can we talk about without spoiling anything?
I mean, I think the one other thing that I'll tap on, and we'll definitely talk on it more as we talk through the plot, because it is very tied into the plot, is that I think my big issue with this movie is just how breathless and how jammed full of stuff it is. Of it is a movie with no time to breathe. It is a movie that goes from thing to thing, from plot point to plot point, from planet to planet, even. Like, God, certainly more planets than I think we've seen in at least non-prequel Star Wars movie, and maybe even out of all of them, that is the thing that, especially in the context of Star Wars, feels very foreign and not. I think that was a big complaint that a lot of the less savory parts of the internet had around Last Jedi, was that like, oh, Last Jedi doesn't feel like a Star Wars movie. It doesn't have these tangible things that are part of a Star Wars movie for me. I think this one more so, much more so than Last Jedi, and in particular, just how chock full of stuff. If anything, it reminded me a lot of like Attack of the Clones, which is a similarly very sort of breakneck, overstuffed movie.
Yeah. I don't remember Attack of the Clones too much. Revenge of the Sith is my go-to.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
Like, but also Revenge of the Sith is like very action movie.
Yes. Yes.
But definitely had some cool fight scenes in it.
Any other non-spoilery things to say about the movie overall?
Non-spoiler things. Not really.
Yeah, TLDR, we weren't thrilled on it. I think I liked it a little more than you did.
I think so.
And I think both of us are still in sort of that middle ground where it's like,
it felt like a jumble.
Yes.
It just felt like a jumbly mix of everything. And there were some good relationships. Like the Poe Finn and Rey were solid work.
Yeah, that is actually one thing that I will also call out is, and we'll talk, and again, we'll talk about it more when we talk about plot points, and we talk about the series overall. I think the single most successful thing of this new trilogy, and for this actually a lot of credit does have to go to J.J. Abrams, is the casting of Daisy Ridley as Rey, John Boyega as Finn, Oscar Isaac as Poe, and Adam Driver as Kylo Ren. I know we have some potentially different opinions, or we have in the past some potentially different opinions
might have changed on that.
But like, at least in my head,
in all three movies,
they are great in it, and they are why I enjoy and keep watching these movies. Is like partially because, oh, it's a Star Wars movie and Star Wars fun, but it's like, especially in this movie, it's like, oh, I'm still watching a scene with these characters and these actors, and I'm enjoying the fact that I'm doing that.
Yeah. Cool. I think that's all for the spoiler-free content.
Yep. Spoilers away.
spoilers.
Spoilers. So how do we want to do this? Do we want to go plot by plot, or do we want to go from like topic or thing that we want to talk about from thing to talk about? Normally, I would always say plot by plot. The slight potential downside to this is the plot is fucking crazy.
Yeah. I don't know if the plot, plot is not a good thing to follow this time.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah.
We should go like topic by topic.
Cool. Where do you want to hit on? I'll let you take first crack.
Ugh. Palpatine.
Palpatine.
Title credits. That's where we'll start.
Yeah. The dead speak.
Okay. So spoiler time now. Turn off if you haven't seen it. Whatever. Blah, 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 et cetera. Okay.
The dead speak.
Fuck Palpatine. Okay. So the title credits roll up.
But
saying,
the dead speak.
Saying the dead speak. Yes, that is what they say. They say the dead speak.
I'm apologizing. I'm blatantly stealing David Sims' bit from the Rise of Skywalker episode of Blank Check, but it's too fun not to.
So the dead speak, and so Emperor Palpatine has sent out a message across the universe that he is back.
Do you want to know the only place where you could hear that message?
Fucking Fortnite.
Yeah.
What the hell? Star Wars.
Synergy.
Oh. Okay. That was, so the movie starts with saying the big bad evil guy over the original trilogy and the trilogy before that is back, and turns out he's been behind the scenes like he was always before. He was always behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Guess what? He's been behind the scenes again this entire time.
Man, the dead speak.
Yeah. is that a thing? I mean, yes, the dead are speaking, but. So first off, I wanna say I'm pissed off about this,
because
why did they need to just shoehorn in this villain who he has not been mentioned in the past two movies?
Yes,
and they were just like, we have a new villain now who is the big bad guy who has always been the big bad guy. He's the big bad guy again.
Yeah, and so I think this at a. Obviously,
it's lazy. It's lazy writing.
What I was going to say is, obviously,
so
we don't know the actual, like, behind the scenes of how all this stuff happened. What we do certainly know is, one, there has been no consistent, if like love it or hate it, George Lucas, there has been no consistent authorial through line throughout these trilogies. There isn't even, like, Kevin Feige is for the Marvel movies, of like one producer who has like. Has a tight rein over the story. I think Kathleen Kennedy has always been and explicit about it's more let the directors do what the directors want to do on each individual movie.
Well, JJ fucked up in here.
And there's a version of that that could work well. I think the other cardinal sin, at least from my perspective, is the fact that they were so married to this crazy fast schedule of a new movie every 2 years.
Yeah.
And I think that... I haven't fully dived in. There's more stuff that I've heard on other podcasts of people who know more stuff about this. But like for The Force Awakens, there was basically they were reshooting that movie up until the last minute. They like started and threw out scripts. There's a podcast I was listening to today where they were talking about like some of those last scenes were shot like in J.J. Abrams' office on a green screen like a month or so before the movie was coming out for Force Awakens. And I think a similar thing seems to have happened, like a lot of like chaos and last minute wrangling seems to have happened on this movie, which I think sometimes having that kind of pressure and having that kind of like you have to fly by the seat of your pants can work really well. I would argue it actually did for The Force Awakens. I like that movie a lot.
It did, yeah.
And similar sort of thing that like the original the first Star Wars movie was like an ultra low budget thing that like was always on the razor's edge of being shut down. I think it did get shut down at various points and then like came back because like George Lucas found a random British lord to give him money in order to like continue the production, but like by selling off the rights to something or another. Like,
sure.
So it can work. That doesn't necessarily mean that a movie is going to be bad, but I think that kind of like crazy production schedule, that kind of like no centralized thing, and certainly no centralized plan throughout these three movies, but still trying to make a thing that feels like it had a centralized plan and felt like that original trilogy and like love it or not, the prequel trilogy leads to a lot of this thing where it's like it feels – I wouldn't mind if these movies were disjointed from each other, but it's the problem that they're disjointed from each other but try to pretend like they're telling one cohesive story.
Yeah, and it's just – yes, I have more about that later about the cohesion of the trilogy. But I do want to focus on Palpatine.
Oh, yes. And then thank you for reminding me, because that was what got me thinking about it was the Palpatine side of the thing where it's like I wonder how much of it is like, was that ever the original? If that was the original plan, it was certain, like, it has been explicit that, like, basically Rian Johnson was given blank slate and said, like, no, there's nothing you need to continue. Do yeah. whatever you want. And then Rian Johnson wrote an original treatment for episode 9, but then decided to back off it because he wasn't going to direct. And then I think that whatever his treatment was got fully scrapped when Colin Trevorrow took over. Apparently Colin Trevorrow still has story credit on this movie, so there must have been enough stuff from his first draft before he got fired that is in there somewhere. But so I'm wondering if this was a thing that JJ was thinking about from the beginning, there was no expectation that it was going to be carried through. And I wonder if a lot, if this, some of this is reaction to Snoke being killed off in Last Jedi, if yes. Snoke was originally going to be the plan. Again, JJ never assumed he was going to take the last movie back. Yep. But, if part of why this feels so slapdash and so tied together is that, Snoke was supposed to be the big bad, but Snoke got killed off in this movie because we didn't tell Rian Johnson that he needed to keep Snoke around because we weren't going to fire our director. But then we did fire our director and hire the first guy back who wanted Snoke back, but couldn't have Snoke back. And now he is the Emperor, and yeah. it becomes a whole fucking clusterfuck.
Yeah.
But that's just speculation. I have no idea if that's true or not.
Sure. But it's yeah. Even if that is speculation, like it's still it's the yes. But that doesn't make it not lazy writing.
No. Yeah.
It's difficult to have three movies directed by completely separate people given a blank slate. And that is a challenge that they decided to give these directors.
Yes.
For some reason. Yes. I don't know why they did that. Like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't know. It is.
I don't know why they're. That's so strange.
What I mean, I feel like what they should have done was, in retrospect now, either done more of a Kevin Feige approach where there is more of a tight hand on the reins for an overall cohesive thing, or what it sounds like they're kind of interested in doing after this is, like Kathleen Kennedy has said, like, yeah, I don't think that the trilogy is now going to be the atomic unit of a Star Wars story anymore.
Yeah.
I think we're going to start moving towards more standalone movies, both in terms of like literal standalone movies like Solo or Rogue One,
sure.
but also in terms of even if we do have do more stories in this series, or if we do have another like set of characters we want to follow along, having it be even more freedom to say, like, let each movie kind of be its own movie, be more like the James Bond movies, maybe, where it's like, yeah, each one can tell its own story that it's interested in, even if it's using the same characters. And I think like either one of those could work. The downside is that like they were not cohesive enough to be a cohesive trilogy, but they were not separate enough to be like the yeah. Iron Man movies or the Thor movies or something like that, where it's like, Iron Man movies in particular, I mean, Iron Man 2 sucks, but like
sure.
they are very distinct, different movies with different directors that are telling different stories that don't necessarily play on one another, but they're all good in their own way.
Yeah.
It could have been more, I think even they were still married to the idea of a trilogy, but it could have been closer to that where it's like, Force yeah. Awakens is very different from The Last Jedi, and then Rise of Skywalker could have been very different from all three of them. And I think it would have annoyed there'd be a part of my brain that was bummed that like there wasn't this connection overall.
Sure.
But if they were all three good movies, that would be fine.
Yeah. That's not the direction they took. But the thing is, though, I feel like episodes 7 to 8, because I'm going to refer to them by that, because
yep,
I'm shitty with names. Like, even though they were distinctly different, they were cohesive. Like they were definitely stylized differently, but they did fit together. Like,
interesting. Okay. I don't know if I fully agree with that, but I definitely agree that they fit more than this to Last Jedi to Rise of Skywalker
yeah.
do. But I think I think what the big thing for me is, at least, that like Force Awakens and Rise of Skywalker and Last Jedi feel very different. They feel like they're directed by different people. They feel like they're telling different stories and are interested in different kinds of stories, but they're both very good at doing what they're trying to do.
Yes.
And because they're both good movies and they're good Star Wars movies and they have Daisy Ridley and John Boyega and Oscar Isaac and Adam Driver in them, I'm like,
yes, forgive their lack of continuity.
Yeah. That I care less about the continuity and more about the movies being good. And honestly, I do think like if this was a good movie, and like, I think there is a version of this, and maybe we can especially on the Palpatine point, to get back to that, like
yeah.
I think there's a good version of this movie that does still have Palpatine as the main bad guy. I think there could still be a good version of this movie that has Rey being a Palpatine, but just being a better executed movie on that idea.
Oh yeah, by the way, Rey's a Palpatine.
Rey's a Palpatine.
I'm your father. Oh, what?
Yeah. Well, grandfather.
Grandfather.
But I think, I mean, I think other people feel differently. And part of, we can talk more about like specifics as we get to them. But, and particularly when we get to the like raise a Palpatine thing, I think for me, if this was, there's a version of this movie that could be good that has those same like main thesis points, and it would still be wildly incongruous with the previous movies, but if it was good, I'd be fine with it.
Yeah. If it was good.
Yeah, but it isn't. And that's a problem.
Yep. Yeah. So opening sequence starts with, hey, here's the big bad evil guy that has been there all along, but.
Yeah. Interruption. Maybe to put it another way, I don't think the movie is bad because of the Palpatine stuff.
Sure.
I think the movie is bad and the Palpatine stuff is incongruous, and those two together make it worse.
Yes.
Rather than like a thing in and of itself, for me at least, to complain about.
I personally think the Palpatine thing, I can't see a really good way they could have made him the big bad. Maybe if it wasn't so obvious. Maybe if it wasn't so in your face. Maybe if it was actually a secret people discovered. Like, maybe if it was like, it's like, oh, he was, it's not if he went, not if what, if Kylo Ren in the first like 5 minutes went and visited Palpatine.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I've been in charge the whole time. Yeah. If he wasn't just like telling us, unless it was showed, like if it was some secret he had discovered or something, then I would have maybe rolled my eyes a little bit, but I probably could have gotten over it.
Well, again, it's actually the thing that we were joking about the Fortnite thing. It's like, why is Palpatine's message happens before the movie? Why is that not
the
movie? Why is the movie not, we come back to all our friends in our training and stuff like that, and then they find out there's this weird message.
That would
let's
have
go
been
investigate
better.
It. And then the first act of the movie, rather than being a, let's go find the clue that will lead us to the clue to lead us to the clue to lead us to the thing that will lead us to Palpatine, be like, let's investigate and see if this is really Palpatine. And then like that, even the end cap, maybe Kylo's also doing that thing. And like the scene that we have with Kylo and Palpatine, or the scenes that we have, could have been like the end of act one, or could have been the midpoint of the movie.
Yeah.
Rather than
if we figured
all the
out
stuff that happens before.
Exactly. If Palpatine had been halfway through the movie, we had discovered that he's real. And like, then we discover the first order or the final order. Right. That could have worked.
Yeah.
I still think that like it's drawing too much on nostalgia, which I have another thing about that.
Yes.
But besides that, sure, it absolutely could have been that. That you're right, that could have worked. Yeah, fuck Palpatine though.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so ham-fisted and so he's literally, it was like the Palpatine's back. Hey guy, like it was the title credits.
Yeah.
It was just
so
shitty of a way to reintroduce the most evil character we have ever met in any Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do think also, to the movie's credit, or as an example of the kind of things that I'll give the movie credit for, and maybe as a meta point, I think the movie is like, on a technical level, on a performance level, on a like how the basically everything other than the script level, really fucking good.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so the whole sequence of Kylo going to Palpatine at the beginning, and like that, and the way that it's shot, and the way that it's like shot in these lightning flashes, and everything's super shadow, and like you're getting like just hinted glimpse and stuff like that. It's like, oh, this is really aesthetically and as like as a way of doing the filmmaking of a bad script, very good. And same thing with like, I do love, like, I just, especially I rewatched all the movies leading up to watching Rise of Skywalker.
Me too.
And like Ian McDiarmid's performance is just so fun, even when he's being just like
Ian full, who?
The guy who plays Palpatine.
Oh, gotcha.
When he's being like full on crazy, like, and in this movie too, of just like, yeah, I'm just the most evil person in the world, and there's no like, no greater character to that.
Yeah,
he's just so good at doing
that's
that.
That's so great.
That it's
like,
so much. It is so much fun.
That was reminded me to talk to you about evilness in Star Wars, good and evil later on.
Yes.
Because this was the first movie, Star Wars movie, where I had been like, kind of rolling my eyes a little bit about like good and evil,
the reductiveness of it all.
Yeah, which like Star Wars,
of it all.
Star Wars, like that's usually its thing, is it reduces it all.
Yeah.
So like that's like, for some reason, this movie hit me wrong when it came to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Remind me to talk about that. But I guess anything more about Palpatine?
Palpatine. I mean,
maybe in relation to Rey.
Yeah. So I think on the Palpatine as just the like main villain, my issues with it just as Palpatine as the main villain of like. it is a retread, and it is wildly incongruous with the rest of the movie. I'm okay with, or rest of the trilogy, I'm okay with it being incongruous if the rest of the movie was good, but it isn't. And another, like, some of this is going to get into, like, wish casting of, like, what could be the better movie. And a lot of my problems do come down to that. It's like, there's a better version of this. And one of those is, like, letting Kylo just be the antagonist. And the story is still, because obviously Kylo's arc was always going to end, and we'll talk about that more when we talk about him. It was always going to end in the last trilogy with him turning good again, because that's such a Star Wars thing, and that's
sure.
That is his journey, and like the whole conception of Kylo as a character is, what if a bad guy, what if the son of the good guys turned bad but had the reverse journey of Luke, of being tempted to the light side instead of tempted to the dark. So that was always going to be it, but like, we could have still had that journey without him having to like fight against another even worse bad guy.
And I think even then, if he wanted to, we could have used people already there. I don't remember his name, but Ragabond or Rabba had a, he was the spy.
Oh, Hux.
Hux. No, but what? Hux.
Hux.
Hux. Okay. Hux, well, yeah. His species is like Rabba something.
Okay.
Snoke in one of the movies was like, always know how to, always, I have a Rabba something in my high command because I know how to take advantage of him or something.
I think that line is like rabid dog.
Oh,
like
my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, wow, I didn't know they had, like...
Yeah, yeah.
I guess redheads are their own species now.
It's Star Wars. It's the redhead planet. Space Ireland.
Hux could have risen. He could have been... I think the characters of Hux and Kylo, they don't have enough gravitas... Or people, I feel like they didn't have enough gravitas to, I think they had the opportunity to like grow into like deeper characters who are more, I guess, evil and less surface level what they were. Like Kylo, he's evil, but he's still emo, you know? He definitely could have gone more into the like, I don't know, just straight evil, like gonna fuck you up and take everything. Does that make sense?
I think so.
More Vader, frankly.
Yeah.
He could have been Vader.
Yeah. I could see that.
Oh, his fucking helmet. Sorry.
The helmet. Go for the helmet.
Quick. A lot of minor annoyances in this film. His helmet. Why did they have to remake his fucking helmet?
Yeah.
Why did they have to do that? They did not have to do that. That was a whole scene where he destroyed his helmet because it was representing him growing beyond Vader.
Yeah.
So then he remakes his helmet so that... What?
Yeah.
Also, Vader's helmet, I'm pretty sure in the last movie, was destroyed.
I thought so too, but I didn't actually. So The Last Jedi was the one that I didn't get to rewatch beforehand. I'm not 100%
pretty confident.
I kind of remember that as well.
And also, Luke's lightsaber was also destroyed.
Yes.
Categorically destroyed.
Yes. Yes.
Straight up. And then, hey, guess what? No mention of it. It's just back.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I think. Actually, this is a good meta thing that we can get into to then talk about the Rey as a Palpatine thing. But overall, like, and I think this is a genuine concern that a lot of people have with the movie that I'm less bothered by, of the degree to which this reads, whether intentionally or otherwise, as a, oh, all the stuff you didn't like about The Last Jedi, angry internet people, well, don't worry, we're going to, like, we're going to hand wave that away and, in fact, actively counteract that. Some of that is, I mean, with both the Rey's no one, well, actually, it turns out they thought they were no one, but actually they're Palpatine. Kylo destroyed his helmet, well, here's his new helmet again. My actual... biggest like legitimate complaint about the movie, well, one of my two major complaints about the movie that like actively infuriates me, the complete and total sidelining of Rose as a character, literally getting like seconds of screen time for absolutely no good reason, and then going out of their way to have there be a scene where they say, are you sure you want to, again, stealing a bit from Blank Check, are you sure you want to come on us on this, on our fun movie, you can stay, but if you have to stay home, I guess you can stay home and not be in the movie. And then she says, yeah, I really shouldn't be in the movie. I have too much stuff to do here, not in the movie, while you guys go do the movie. And it's mind-boggling, infuriating, especially given we introduce new characters that fulfill the role that Rose absolutely could have fulfilled in this movie. It is unbelievable. And I don't know if it's that like they shot a lot, and actually it sounds like they did shoot a lot and it's on the editing room floor. Apparently there were scenes that she was even before she had seen Final Cut, was like, oh, I'm so excited to get scenes with Rey. There are no scenes with Rey and her in the movie. But maybe it was because those scenes didn't turn out well. Maybe, like, there are plenty of reasons, but it is.
But it doesn't feel like that.
It doesn't feel like that. And it's also the kind of thing that, like, okay, push back the release date and then reshoot scenes that have Rose in them and then don't introduce the other new characters, even though other new characters that were great and were fun. It's just like, she exists.
Make
acknowledge
a goddamn good movie.
Acknowledge, like, that.
Yeah.
And she was very good in Last Jedi.
Also, Ari, Rey, and Palpatine, a tweet here that someone sent me on a group me. Rian Johnson, maybe anyone can be a hero. J.J. Abrams, no, absolutely fucking not.
Yeah.
I feel like that whole movie, that tweet encapsulates the amount of retrofitting this movie did.
Yes.
So, like, as I was saying, what Luke's lightsaber, the Knights of Ren.
Yeah.
I was confused. I feel like I'm not 100% on this.
It's weird the degree to which, like, because the Knights of Ren were clearly a thing that was just, like, completely abandoned from Force Awakens into Last Jedi, because
I thought
Rian
so.
Johnson
no,
was, like,
I thought they were Snoke's Imperial Guard.
Oh, were they?
That's what I thought they were.
Okay, I never thought that.
I'm not sure about that.
It's what I was getting at is that, like, for one of JJ's toys from the first movie that we're going to bring back in full style, it's still never, like, I guess the explanation is just they're just people who...
They're,
like,
just badass.
Badasses with, like, not lightsaber sword things.
I was very confident that they were Snoke's Imperial Guard.
Okay.
But I have nothing to back that up. It was just like, these are weird guys with interesting weapons.
And for, again, so, one of the bad faith, in my opinion, because I don't care about these movies necessarily continuing one to the other and, like, picking, I'm okay with movie, like, Last Jedi was a very good movie, so I was totally fine with it throwing away things like, they don't explain Knights of Ren, they don't explain Max von Sydow's character, they don't explain Snoke's backstory, they actually kill off Snoke, blah, blah, blah. Totally fine with that. They try to abandon the Rey's parentage, MacGuffin.
Yeah.
And I was fine with that because, again, it was a good movie, and the reasons they did all those were fine. I would have been fine with them picking back up the Knights of Ren in this movie, but the whole complaint was like, oh, they never explored what the Knights of Ren, like, never explained Knights of Ren, and then JJ also doesn't explain the Knights of Ren in this movie.
They just are walking around. I didn't realize who they were until I saw the movie a second time around.
Oh, yeah.
And then the second time around, they're like, the Knights of Ren are going to go search for them.
Yeah.
And then there are these figures. In the first movie, the first time my viewing of it, I was like, okay, these are... I don't know, Imperial something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're just stalkers. They're whatever the hell they are.
Yeah.
They're clearly interesting, I guess.
Rey's a Palpatine, though.
Yeah, and that's just fuck that.
Yeah,
fuck that.
Yeah,
because honestly, for several reasons. Because I feel like JJ, he in this movie tried to cram two movies into one. I feel like he tried to cram. Fuck, what comes after Return of...
Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, he tried to combine those two, episodes 4 and 5 and 6, into one.
Yeah.
And tried to ignore episode 8.
Yeah. Yes. And I think, like... So for the people who are... there's a version of this movie that I'd be fine with that still has Palpatine as the main villain and still has Rey turning out and becoming a Palpatine. Becomes completely makes no sense in the context of the trilogy, but that's fine, and I'd be okay with it if this was a good movie. I think a lot of the complaints, rightly so, of people who are actively frustrated by the Rey as a Palpatine thing is the people like me who are like, eh, it's kind of lazy, it's whatever, it's dumb.
Yeah.
And then the people that it sounds like you are more like, who are like, I actively loved the message of Last Jedi. Meant a lot to me. And this is saying that J.K. Lowell's on that thing that meant a lot to me. Whereas for me, I think I was always interested and really I liked the idea of like, oh yeah, anyone can be a Jedi. But it wasn't as much of a like, yes, this is a mind-blowing new thing for me. Or like it was a kind of slightly cool thing for me rather than like a big driving thing that I resonated with strongly. So I was more okay with the idea of like, all right, we said one thing in this movie, but it was a thing that I kind of liked rather than like deeply resonated with.
Sure.
And now we're undoing that. If that was something that you deeply resonated with, though, of course,
yeah,
having the next movie come back and say like, yeah, that thing that you loved and that mattered a lot, fuck you.
Yeah. So I think what was really cool about it was the fact that, you know, everyone is expecting her to have interesting parents because that's what Star Wars does, is they have, you know, the main character is, ooh, surprise, surprise. But the best surprise of all was the fact that she didn't. Like, there could have been no better reveal than her having no parents.
Yes. And this is also
just impossible to top.
I don't know where. I think it was something that I saw on Twitter, but maybe it was something I heard on a podcast. So apologies for not crediting where I got this analysis from. But they're basically saying that, one, it's a better surprise because it is the inverse of what we expect the big reveal to be, which just makes it more surprising because we have our own built-in expectations. It also is, if you think about in the context of the original trilogy, the Luke's parents are – or Luke's dad is Darth Vader thing. The reason it was powerful is because it was the perfect reveal to match with his character specifically.
Yeah.
And for Rey, her big thing is she feels like that the worst possible news Luke could ever have gotten is that actually this dad that you idolized, he is the big villain that you're fighting against.
Yeah.
Killed your other father figure. In Rey's case, the thing she's most terrified about, the thing that is
that she's no one.
Is that she's no one. And that's that's the worst possible thing anyone could say to Rey.
Yeah.
Given the character that we have seen in these movies so far, which is part of why the her being a Palpatine, it holds less weight than Luke being Vader's son, both because it's a retread of a thing we've seen before, so it doesn't have weight for us.
Fuck that.
But also because for Rey would rather, at least the Rey that we've seen in the previous movies, she would rather be related to the villain than be related to no one.
Yeah.
Is my belief.
Absolutely. I don't know. I felt like it was something to build on. I felt like Rian Johnson struck out and tried something new.
Mm-hmm.
And no one wanted to follow that hard task.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 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 Anything else on Rey being a Palpatine?
The final scene where it was I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna kill you. Yes. Let your rage flow through you. And then if you kill me, I'll embody you.
Yeah.
And it was just okay. That's neener, neener, neener. I win.
Yeah. Yeah. That is such the Emperor, though. That is, for as much as the Emperor has as a character, his character is, hey, all that stuff that you thought is you beating me, actually, J.K. Lowell says what I want.
True.
Which, though, again, should the Emperor be the main villain of this movie, and
no.
I guess by extension the trilogy, maybe not, if that's the whole move. Yeah, maybe let's go from Rey as a Palpatine to just Rey overall in this movie. Because what I will say, in this movie, similar with the overall trilogy, is Rey is my favorite part of these new movies. I think she gets short shrift in this movie, unfortunately, especially compared to in the other two movies.
I definitely
But she is still my favorite part of this movie. Her performance, the cool both story beat cool as well as actually just cool to see on a screen stuff that she does holds a lot of weight for me, and if the nice space friends overall are my reason why I like this movie more than I think I otherwise would, just given the quality of its story overall, Rey in particular is this movie kind of sucks, but it's a kind of sucky movie that still has Rey as a character and still has Daisy Ridley as the person playing it. And that's gonna give me two stars in and of itself, regardless of anything
else
in the movie.
She's very good. I agree in the short shrifting. And specifically, I feel like her, motivations for doing a lot of things didn't make 100% sense.
Yeah.
And it was I don't know. I had just seen the first two movies right before this, and she was just so much more, not innocent, but I don't want to say naive either. I don't know. There's something more.
Well, so I think, I didn't get a chance to rewatch The Last Jedi, but in rewatching Force Awakens, the thing that made me love Rey specifically as a character is that we haven't seen someone who is this
practical.
Well, both practical, but like a puppy dog in terms of how engaged she is with everything, and how energetic, and how those scenes where you see she's out in the middle of the desert and she's totally alone, and it's so depressing and so sad, and she's knocking off the things on there, and then she goes and sits to eat her weird space bread, and she puts on an old rebel helmet and smiles to herself as she eats, and it's that
yeah.
infectious optimism and chipperness, even for a as much of a like big fancy like look to the skies optimistic series of Star Wars, that was infectious there.
It looks so adorable in that moment.
And then same thing where like after they do like during the whole Millennium Falcon escape from Jakku sequence, as soon as that ends, it's like her and Finn are like congratulating each other on how cool, good of a job they did, and just like beaming with pride and like energy over everything they're doing. And there was less of that in this movie. There were still flashes of that that I
sure
made me be like, okay, it's not everything that I want, but there's enough of what I love about Rey. Yeah, exactly. that moment in particular was like, yes, this is what I love. This is what I love about my favorite part of these trilogies. This new trilogy is this interaction between these people.
To be clear, that was a line she said to Poe as he's like, she's like, the ship's on fire. It's like, my droid's broken. And it's like, well, he's not on fire. Not the part of him that's still there. And she
does her little smile. And it's like, you're difficult. You know who you are? Like,
yeah.
Yes, this is why I love these movies. But we didn't get as much of that as I would like. And to your point, I totally agree that like there was moment to because this movie was so fetch questy, so much of the stuff that she was doing was
so many MacGuffins.
Her motivation was, oh, I have to do my next fetch quest for most of the time. Except in the only, and honestly, the times when I thought the movie was most interesting was when she would go out of her way to say like those moments where she was flirting more with darkness, where she was like, I'm going to walk out into the desert because I can sense Kylo's coming and that's more important to me. I'm going to jeopardize the mission to do that.
Yeah.
Those moments cooked for me more than a lot of the rest of the movie.
I don't know. There's something about her darkness that is different than Luke's. That is like, I honestly want to say less believable.
Interesting.
Like
okay.
I Luke's darkness was in his anger and his passion.
Yeah.
Versus Rey, I don't know. There were times when her passion felt, I don't want to say fake, just out of character.
I think in this movie, I agree that there were fewer moments where it worked, but than it did in the other two movies. Because I did like
when she was looking for her parents on the Jedi Island in the last one.
Yes, when she was doing that. I think also the other like example that I throw is the final lightsaber battle with Kylo Ren in the snow in Force Awakens, where it's like those moments where, oh, this is what you can see her tapping into her rage in those fight scenes in a way that like felt, and I guess the motivation would be like she starts off wanting to protect Finn and like get revenge for the fact that like Finn just got hurt, but then she does flip a switch and get too far into like, no, I just want to kill Kylo. And then she centers herself and is like, oh wait, I was told that I should like center myself in the Force and it's fine. And then like, is more Jedi-like. And actually that's what allows her to win. I think if we're talking about the trilogy overall, I think that was a thing that was relatively successfully done is I always assumed, that the story would be, does Kylo turn to the light side or does Rey turn to the dark side? And because this is a Star Wars movie, the answer was never going to be Rey fully turns into the dark side. But like that was a through line that we were going to flirt with. I think this movie had a few more and a couple of very good explicit moments of that. But it was also a lot of like other moments that didn't fall, that tried to do that with unsuccessfully.
Yeah.
Which actually leads me to my other major complaint with the movie, which is, I think, indicative in one of those Rey is turning, maybe going to turn to the dark side moments, is that because this movie is not only is this movie so stuffed, it is so stuffed with setting up consequences and completely, completely backing away from
them. Oh, my God. Okay, yes.
And that is, that happens constantly. The moment I'm going to talk about, which was the first watch through, the moment I loved the most in the moment and then got most frustrated with afterwards, which is when they think Chewie's in the transport, she does her like force hold on it, Kylo does his other force hold, and she like loses control and lightnings it, and we think that they killed Chewbacca. The first time I was watching through, that was my moment. I was like, oh, this movie's cooking with gas. This movie might be great. This movie doesn't give a shit about anything. It's willing to go as far as they want to go. It's willing to take the threat of Rey maybe being evil seriously. Because even at that point, I could tell when Palpatine came back, it's like, and he wants the girl, it's like, oh, fuck, she's going to be a Palpatine, probably.
Of course she is.
But then when that moment happened, I was like, okay, maybe this will work because they're going to go further than... Because for all of Luke's faults, he never killed one of his best friends in anger at Kylo Ren. And like, this was in that moment, that first watch through, I was like, this is good. I'm excited to see where the rest of the movie goes. And not 5 minutes later, they undo it. Not even 5 minutes. And they undo it in the hackiest way possible of like, Jake Ellsworth was on the transport.
And like, we didn't see another transporter down there.
We did see, there was a single shot where there was, because I was paying attention for the second time through. There's a single shot where there are two transports side by side. And it's when they're loading Chewie into one, you can see another one next to it. And then they never once show that they're being two beyond that, like literally maybe 4 seconds of screen.
They did that continuously.
Yeah.
The biggest other one for me, which it's funny I say biggest just because like I really don't care about C-3PO.
Yep. That's good. Yeah.
And like no one cares about C-3PO in this movie either. Like that's also like I get how he's like the annoying polite one who is always talking so much.
Yeah.
But in this one he was so shit on. So often.
So this is an interesting one. I'm stealing a concept from a podcast called The Rewatchables, where they like it's movies that are like super rewatchable, and then they go through and talk about them, and they have a whole bunch of like segments and superlatives that they give to people. One of them is this concept called Apex Mountain, which is like, is this the best thing for? And this usually it's an actor. It's like, is this Matt Damon's best movie? Is this blah blah blah? This, I think this movie is C-3PO's Apex Mountain. I think this is the best C-3PO movie.
Interesting. Yes, but...
because I loved him. He was the one...
You're right.
...that so, I, like, I loved him in every scene he was in.
I loved him. I did not like how everyone else was relating to him.
I was fine. So have you rewatched Empire Strikes Back recently?
No, I have not.
I rewatched Empire Strikes Back. I was surprised in Empire how much the entire movie is them shitting on C-3PO.
Listen, I know that is exactly what C-3PO's character is he is just shit on over and over again.
Yeah.
But there felt like there was a special, unique shitting on him.
Interesting.
I could see that
in that was the way I felt watching Empire Strikes Back. For me, at least, they were basically equivalent in terms of that degree. But I think that's fair. So that's just my one little shout out to say, like, I think this is the best C-3PO movie. And this is actually like, which is interesting and exciting in its own way. And I like that they actually gave him a lot of stuff to do, especially given how sidelined R2-D2 has been in this trilogy.
Yeah.
But it is another example of part of why it's the best C-3PO movie is C-3PO makes a very active, selfless choice in a way that is like actually one of the good, well-written parts of the movie. Actually like a tender moment of like, taking one last look at my friends, and then I'm going to forget them forever.
Yeah.
And then 10 minutes later, it gets undone.
Yeah, by the way, what happened is C-3PO, he purges all his memory so that he can read a Sith dagger and then comes back to life, you know, without any memory that he had before. And then not like 10, 15 minutes later, R2-D2 turns out, guess what? He has his memory banks. They work.
And they even set up another mini consequence in that to say like, but Archie's memory is faulty. So of course, and then what do they do? It's his memory is perfectly fine. He forgets like a couple missions. It's not even like it's, and this happens all throughout the movie of just like, there's so many consequences that are set up and then not paid down. They blow up the planet where Poe's ex-girlfriend's on. And then guess what? She was fine. And her and Boba Frick made it out. I was trying to think there was a handful of other ones that were like this too, where the only example of a consequence being undone that actually worked really well for me, and part of it is because it was the through line of the movie, is all of the like Rey and Kylo healing each other. Like Rey kills Kylo or mortally wounds Kylo, but then force heals him.
No, yes, Same thing. Fine.
That's fine. And that's why I want to call that. I was like,
absolutely.
That's different. It could be seen as an example, but that's a like key thematic point of the movie. In so much as the movie has a like emotional through line and a plot, or a centralized plot that's tied to an arc, it is the relationship between Kylo and Rey, and this idea of like sacrificing yourself and giving of yourself in order to like.
I also think this bleeds over into the other movie. This is also kind of like the screw you, Rian Johnson sensibility of like the lightsaber of like that just came back out of nowhere, and that's kind of in the same vein in a sense, but not really, you know.
But yeah, I mean it is not afraid. Yeah. I would be okay if there was a movie that had no consequences. It's not great, but fine, whatever. Like this doesn't need to be.
No.
What I was going to say is, like,
no.
There's a version of this. There's one version of this movie where it's like, oh, they do kill off Chewie. They do kill off a bunch of major characters. It's like the real deal end. Like, shit gets dark, but, you know, enough of them scrape by that it's like some sort of satisfactory ending at the end. There's that version of the movie. There's also a version of the movie where, like, none of the major characters, Carrie Fisher probably would have, none of the major characters die. It's fine. The problem is this is smacked up in the middle of setting up so many consequences and then backing out of them.
Yeah.
Because it wants to have it both ways. It wants you to feel the feeling you
get. It has such a fucking cheap, like, so in that moment where C-3PO, like, doesn't die, but, you know, is gone, his memory's purged, you, like, feel a lot. You, like, as we were saying, like, one of C-3PO's best movies, for sure. Probably his best, absolutely his best. But it is ruined because he just comes back, and it's like you're cheated out of that emotional experience that you had before, and you feel like, what the hell?
You feel bad for having cared because the movie is teaching you to stop caring about the things that you are caring about.
So anything bad that happens, and in fact, that's what happened in the final act, the final scene on Earth, whatever that. The mystery planet,
yes,
right?
Exegol.
Where the final Exegol, yeah. There were, I think I counted, 3 different times where all hope was lost, and then the Calvary came to save the day. 3 separate times that happened.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it's, you can't do that.
Yeah.
It's just whiplash.
Yeah. I agree. That stuff I'm a little less bothered by, in that, like, there is an element of that being kind of tropey for a big final space battle and Final Fantasy battle or whatever. Is like,
but this was aggressive.
It was a lot. It was a lot. And in particular, it was a lot after you had an entire movie full of being cheated out of things. If none of that other stuff had happened, and then you got, like, fine, there's 3 Calvaries coming at the end.
Yeah.
But, like, you've earned it because we've been waiting for it. And it's the end of a Star Wars, like, 9 movie thing. Okay, fine.
That would have worked, because then you'd have been like, oh shit, yes, oh no,
yeah,
oh good, oh no,
yeah,
like that's what you need. You only need 3 of those. You can't
exactly
you can't get 10 of those throughout the whole movie. But I want to talk about that end bit for a second. I just want to list them out and categorize them. So there was they arrived. And they're losing the battle, and Emperor Palpatine opens the sky window, and Rey looks up, and everyone's dying, and Poe is like, oh, guys, I thought we had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, but there are more of us, said, that was my impression of
Lando.
And then turns out the entire fucking galaxy shows up behind them, which,
yep,
by the way, pissed me off.
Yeah.
Because in the last movie, they tried to do the exact same thing.
Which this is one thing where it's like, there's a version of this you could do that actually worked really well, successfully.
You have to justify it.
You have
to justify. Actually have a reason for all these people to come and save them this time.
And there was a reason that was literally laid out in text in The Last Jedi, which is, oh, part of why Luke is doing this thing is this becomes the legend that everyone, like, we have the broom boy that's telling the story of Luke Skywalker running out in front of the army and, like, saving the day at the end of the movie. So we have in text a thing that's like, oh, now that this story happened, that's going to make people have more hope. And you could have literally just had a line where it's like, hey, remember what Luke did on Crait or whatever. It's like that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, not only is it justified, it is justified beautifully and elegantly in a way that, like, comments on the last movie and says that, like, hey, it builds on.
No.
But
see, that would have required acknowledging episode 8 existed.
I know.
Which they could not do.
Yeah. Other than, I know this is getting off because you wanted to keep talking about the ending, and we'll get back to it. Other than the one thing that they did keep, which was great that they kept, because it's the coolest cinematic device that's been in a Star Wars movie outside of, like, everything they invented in the first Star Wars movie, is the Force time between Kylo and Rey. Like, they kept it and they built on it, and it led to one of, again, a perfectly executed, very satisfying moment at the end where it's like, she does the thing and like,
beautiful,
passes the lightsaber to Kylo, and then Kylo does, which I didn't notice, and I didn't notice this in watching until someone explained it to me,
does
that,
like
well, he does a Han Solo shrug, like the exact same kind of shrug that Han Solo does whenever he's, like, outnumbered and outgunned.
Oh my god.
And I was,
I did,
like,
not notice that.
Is fucking cool. I didn't connect it either. There was someone else, I think it was on Twitter, someone was talking about it. But I think that is the one thing that they kept. They should have kept more from The Last Jedi, because a lot of The Last Jedi was cool. I'm glad that if they only kept one thing, they picked the coolest thing to keep.
Yes. The Force tying was a beautiful – is my only use of the Force in this movie that – like besides like super basic Force things I appreciate, because there's a lot of other Force things that I'm going to comment on that I did not like lot of ways.
And it was also so elegant because it actually solved problems of like, oh – because of their Force time, that's how he's able to track them, or that's how he when they had the lightsaber battle through the Force time, and then like
saying
he's
Force tying or
Force time, as in Force, like FaceTime, but Force time.
Oh, okay, okay, that's good.
and like then the Darth Vader mask lands there, and he's like, oh shit, she's on my ship.
Yeah,
and it's like it's also just such a beautiful cinematic thing of like the way that Rian Johnson decided to shoot it, and the fact that J.J. Abrams kept that style of you're seeing them both in each other's scenes.
Really worked.
You're playing with the conventions
of
cinema.
Grab the necklace.
You're playing with the conventions of cinema to do shot reverse shot, but shot reverse shot in different things, and then you swap people around. It's like there was the one shot where you can tell they superimposed two sets together, or maybe built a single set to do this, where you're in one panning shot, you're seeing a bit of Kylo's ship existing on the planet as we're panning around. And I was like,
that was beautiful. That was beautiful.
That's fucking cool.
So cinematically beautiful.
That's so cool.
Yes, I do want to talk about the things that I like, but I also want to finish the final scene.
So continue talking about the ending.
So the ending of, all hope is lost. They're all going to die. The entire galaxy shows up. And then Emperor Palpatine, does he suck the life out then, or does he just shoot lightning?
He sucks the life out first and then shoots lightning after.
Gotcha. So, but before that, they had, really?
Yeah, I think the implication is that the sucking the life is what rejuvenated him and gave him the power to do the thing, which is also dumb because like Force dyads, like stop. Why are we creating a whole new thing?
Yeah,
that doesn't mean anything. Why not just say like, also just don't call it a Force dyad. Just say your bond is strong. I've never seen anything like this. I'm going to use it. And that does the exact same thing, but you don't have to call it a Force dyad. And then we often be like, what the fuck's that? Anyway.
Yeah. So then it stole the Force thing from them, and then he shot the lightning up in the air to almost kill everyone, and then how did they stop the Force lightning?
I think it's just that like Rey gets up and she's like, fuck you, I'm gonna because she does the whole like, be with me, hey, all the Jedi live in you now, and that gives her the strength to stand up, which fine, cool, whatever.
Okay with that.
And then I think it's basically just, which also is a very Palpatine-y move, I will admit. It's the fact that like she is up and saying like, fuck you, I'm gonna fight, that he's like, all right, fine, I should just keep killing everyone, but you know what? Instead, I'm going to try and kill you now. Yeah. It's dumb, but it's also dumb in the way dumb in the way that works for Palpatine.
I'm a god. I can do whatever the hell I want. Yeah. And then he tries to kill Rey, but gets killed instead, which I guess doesn't count as her killing him.
Yeah.
Because it's not an anger or some Force technicality.
Again, it's a thing that could work fine if you just if this wasn't such a chock-a-block full of nonsense movie and we had any moment to breathe at any point. And you would have more time to do things
and then Rey dies, and then Kylo comes back, and Kylo gives his life to save Rey, and then John Boyega and the other whoever this chick was.
Yes, I don't remember what her character. It's like Jonna or something like that.
Sure.
Naomi Ackles, I think, is the
name of the actress. Oh, they're going to die, but oh, no, they're not going to die.
Yeah.
And it was just so many just moments of like,
And again, all that would work fine if the movie had earned it or had not spent
had
all
not,
of its goodwill earlier.
It had not
Because also, like, as you've been saying that, it is a time-honored tradition in a Star Wars movie of like, people are going to die, the Millennium Falcon rescues them last
minute. Yeah, that's fine.
And that's fine. It's just that it's
a campy movie.
It's the 15th thing like that where we've cheated a consequence. That is what's frustrating about it.
Yeah.
And even same thing, that's like the fact that Kylo didn't die when he got thrown down the thing is also very Star Warsy.
Yeah.
But the fact that he didn't die and the fact that he comes back so that he can give his life to save Rey works beautifully and is perfectly.
Yes.
Even that I was kind of frustrated at. And the reason I was frustrated is not because that moment isn't good and isn't earned. It's because the movie has spent so much of its credit earlier that the one thing that should matter the most now is like the 17th thing like that.
I honestly thought that Kylo was going to survive after healing her.
Yeah.
Like, I was genuinely.
I kind of did too.
Not for good reasons.
Like, no.
I didn't want. I don't think Kylo deserved to live, and like he should have died there. Yeah. I just thought because of the way how the movie has built it up through this entire time that they're going to cheat me out of another consequence.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're going to keep Kylo alive and
also that I think that was also,
sorry Ben now.
Yeah, I think that was also part of why I was more okay with it. One, because it was the major emotional through line of the movie, was this like force healing back and forth, and like
yeah.
and like it's a perfect metaphor for like his, you know,
redemption
blah blah blah. And I was also more okay with it because, all right, at least he died. If he hadn't died, I would have been very frustrated. Because he died, I was able to be like, all right, this is the important one, so they it's good they did it. I wish they had done less cheating, and also at least for this one, they didn't go over the top with it.
Yeah, and I had mixed feelings about the kiss.
Yeah, I mean,
I ship,
so I'll say that. But then even
I mean, yeah, for sure, but
even but even then, I was sort of like, all right,
I don't
it's a lot.
Think it was it didn't. Let me put it this way: if it was romantic, then I did not want it. But it didn't feel romantic, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
here's
my thing. I shipped it in the first two movies. I continued to ship it because I just continued to ship it. But it did not – like, this needed to be a better movie for me to feel like that was earned at the end.
Yeah.
And a better movie that continued on the stuff that was in those first two movies. Because, like, yeah, I was always for, like, I'm okay with them getting together. This is fun.
I don't think it was love, though. Like, it didn't feel like love. It felt like I don't know. Like Luke and Leia.
I mean. There's a wild-ass theory that because Anakin has no father, that like, oh, maybe Anakin was the like force creation of Palpatine. It's one of those like crazy ass theories
sure.
that's like floating around the internet. It was basically Palpatine being like, I want to create the person who will help destroy the Jedi, and like I will manifest them into the Force.
Yeah.
And then that's where Anakin comes from, which then in that case does make them at least kind of sort of related in that's also a crazy theory that's probably not
sure,
almost certainly not true, because it's dumb. That being said, there's plenty of dumb stuff that is true in the Star Wars world, so
that is true. Yeah. That's all my feelings about it, really.
Yeah. What else? So we have not talked about Finn and Poe.
Writing in general.
Yeah.
Like script-wise. Or words, dialogue-wise.
I've been
complaining a while.
We have been complaining a while. So yeah. Let's
do some positive.
Sure. What do you got? What'd you like?
The trio.
Yeah.
Yeah. The trio. I love the trio. Poe, Finn, and Rey.
Yeah.
Especially in this movie, just their dialogue. This movie really worked. It was good writing. And there were, you know, banter, and the dynamic worked between the three of them. And it wasn't – there was a line said by Finn to Poe. Or no, Poe was like, what do you want from me? I'm not Leia.
Mm-hmm.
And Poe was like, that's for damn sure. Or Finn was like, that's for damn sure. And it was an acknowledgement both like – I feel like that was directed almost towards the audience of like,
yeah.
Okay, so Rey is clearly Luke, and you can't. So like, who's Leia now?
Like,
Poe is like kind of Leia, but he's also kind of Han.
Yeah,
and Finn is kind of Han, but he's also not a dick.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's interesting. Well, I mean, I think which actually we did talk about on the last episode, but I think continues to be true that what's exciting about this trilogy is that again they cast very, very great people in the
yeah.
And also like again Oscar Isaac was clearly supposed to die, honestly, other than Last Jedi. It's questionable, and I think in this movie it becomes a little more so questionable whether the like movie has enough juice for the three of them and Kylo Ren to be main characters, and maybe there would have been like I think it worked actually well. I was gonna say it worked well in Last Jedi, but then that leads to the one major complaint I had with Last Jedi, which is the Finn storyline is
sure.
like also doesn't have a lot of juice. So maybe it's the
but
kind of thing
not
that like
because of Finn.
No. Like, what I was saying is like maybe there is a world in which if the original plan was Poe is just a hotshot character at the beginning, but then who dies off, and then the main core is like it's Finn and Rey, and then Kylo is the other like pseudo main character that and. if there is enough differentiation between Finn and Poe to yeah. like justify them both having their own separate stories and separate arcs. I don't know. I mean, I'm of two minds about it. I think the problems with it, like the way to solve the problem of this movie in particular is not have one less or getting rid of one of the characters wouldn't solve the problem. There's like it would, especially given that all three of them are together for this most of this movie, which is exciting because, like you said, we get to see how the three of them interact in a way that we haven't in these previous two movies because they've all been separated.
What did Finn want to say to Rey?
Right. So I've heard a lot of back and forth. There's the like, oh, I love you, and which sucks. I think the three that I've heard is the I love you. Something about him being like, I think I'm force sensitive and stuff. Like, I'm not a Jedi, but like, I have some like force sensitivities, which the movie does kind of seem to hint at.
Yeah.
In both Force Awakens and this seem to hint at that, like, he may have some sort of sensitivity,
absolutely.
Which I think is also like kind of sucks in the like meta narrative of like anyone can be a Jedi, same sort of thing of like anyone can rise up against the like they've been told to be a stormtrooper, but you don't have to be a fancy force boy to like say, no, I don't want to be a stormtrooper anymore.
Sure.
Or the third one being telling Rey that she's a Palpatine. And the which I thought was crazy, the thought process behind it, I think this was John Siracusa on the Incomparable episode about this movie, saying that in particular he says, I need to tell her something and the general knows it too. And then later on they have that conversation, Luke and her have that conversation. She's like, oh yeah, Leia knew that you were Palpatine also. Which... On the one hand, it seems super stretched. On the other hand, it's like this movie is dumb and bad at things. So like maybe that's the kind of stretch that they thought played and was understandable and then were dumb and wrong about.
I think they just didn't resolve it. I honestly think they just had those scenes and they just did not resolve it.
Yeah. No matter what, it was not well executed because it is clearly no one knows what the answer is. And there's multiple different interpretations and like there should have been more. He could have just said the thing or had any other like stronger explication of like what the thing is. The fact that we could say it could be any of those three. And realistically we have like equal lack of evidence for any of them is a flaw of the movie.
Yeah. Huge flaw.
But again, positive.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Finn was fun. He's good. John Boyega just continues to be great. Oscar Isaac continues to be great.
Yeah. They had, I mean, there was one of my favorite lines was they fly now. They fly now. And it was just a great series. It was C-3PO was the middle one.
Yeah.
It's just like saying the same line three. It's a, in my acting class, we have this thing called a 3-moment exercise where you say something to someone, they respond and you respond back. And that's all it is. And that was the perfect, it was an
they did
example.
It. They did
of
it. It was a great, acting class.
It was perfect.
It's great. They're fun and everyone's chemistry is great. And again, this is a movie where, on a technical level and on a performance level, pretty flawless, in my opinion. It's just that it's a pretty flawless execution of a dumb, bad script.
Yeah.
I also really liked the Poe and Zori, I think is her name, Carrie Russell's badass masked spy lady. Their chemistry was fun. Their interactions were fun. That last little moment at the end where it's just like eye acting of like, are we going to do this? No. All right. Oh, great. This is why Oscar Isaac is a movie star and needs to be in like everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a amazing moment where he did nothing. He just like turned his shoulders. And turned his head a little bit and like raised his eyebrows.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah.
Yeah. A little bit. And again, I don't know how like the popular narrative of people who love The Last Jedi and therefore are very frustrated at this for saying fuck you to The Last Jedi. A popular narrative within that circle is the like, anything that could be construed as a fuck you to The Last Jedi will now become construed as that.
Ugh.
And so one of those is the whole like, are Finn and Poe potentially like going to get together? And then J.J. Abrams was like, no, they're not. And then like, so there's an argument of like, oh, was this just shoehorning in to like make sure that Poe has a straight love interest and stuff like that? And it's like, I am less, I think now it was okay. And we cannot go a moment without getting into something that we don't like about the movies.
Yeah.
But this is one of those ones that's meta frustrating rather than like active or rather than frustrating within the movie. But there's a whole like fucking stop. It's the same thing happened in Avengers Endgame. Directors, stop saying things like these in your press junkets to be like, don't worry, there's a, I think the quote was exclusively gay moment. It was like, Finn and Poe aren't going to be together, but don't worry, there's a gay moment in the movie. And you know what that gay moment is? The one kiss between two women in the celebration thing that is on screen in the background for a half a second. And it's like,
yay.
Include more of those in your movies, please. Don't try and ask for credit for including that in your movie. And so I think that's also why people are a little, like, the combo of that of like, oh, well, you know, there's this whole fan conversation about are they going to end up together, and then you say no, but don't worry, there's going to be a gay moment, and that gay moment is a dumb one, and then also we throw in a straight love interest for Poe. That's like, I think all of that together frustrates a lot of people in a way that I can understand, especially given the like, it's a fucking space movie full of like aliens and shit like that. Of like, you should, there should be no question about like, even for the annoying people who are like, oh, you know, which happens in a lot of like fantasy things where it's like, oh, well, there wouldn't have been gay people back then, which is dumb and wrong. Ugh. And it's also a fantasy thing, so who gives a shit? Do whatever you want. This is a space fantasy thing, and the whole so
it's so stupid. I mean, I first off do not agree with Finn and Poe being together. That would have been a very, very bad choice. But also,
I could have been fine with it.
Not the third one.
You'd have to like, I mean, because it's you'd have to seed it a little bit more. But
there'd have to be any amount of seeding. I mean, I'm absolutely all for more, some actual viable and some real tangible thing, not shoehorning a gay relationship into the movie.
Sure.
They needed to have some, anyway.
But, okay, what else do we like? Again, I loved the moment when we thought that we'd killed Chewie.
Yeah.
The first time through. And then got really frustrated and against myself, I still found myself getting engaged in it the second time through. I was like, oh, I know that it's going to be undone, but it is still,
still a good moment.
And I do like that at the very least they make, even if they cheat it out for the audience and say that like, don't you guys worry, Chewie's alive. They do let Rey sit with it for a while, and Rey feels like she killed Chewie, which is good.
Rey. One thing that I really enjoyed was Evil Rey.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
I wish there was more.
I know.
Like,
I know.
First off,
this is a cool concept.
Cool lightsaber. I'm always down for new lightsabers.
Yeah.
So dual wielding lightsaber, nunchuck lightsaber. Hell yeah. And also just the look on her face of when you had said before about like a puppy. Evil Rey was an
evil
puppy.
He was an evil puppy. Yeah, because he was just like wide-eyed and smiley and be like, oh, I'm so happy you're here.
Yeah.
Great. You should be evil like me. And I was like, that's
fun. You
can
have everything you want.
I would love.
It's pretty great.
I want more puppy dog evil villains. It's like the kind of people who are like, yeah, being evil's fun. Let's do more of that, please.
You can get whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
What else did I like? On the subject of evil, puppy dog evil, again, overall, I think the Rey and Kylo stuff is the most successful part of the movie and the most successful part of the trilogy. I did really like that, like, the first time we see Kylo actively smile is right at the very end when, like, he heals her and is coming back to life. And it's like, oh, yeah, Adam Driver's got a great, like, sappy smile. And I appreciate the restraint to, like, have it not be doing it because he's a bad guy. And then now he finally gets to break.
I love Adam Driver.
Adam Driver's great.
I liked him. I didn't like him at first.
Yeah, and this definitely isn't his best movie, but it was still like he was still good in it. It's just he didn't have a lot. I also liked the moment between him and Harrison Ford. The not Force Ghost, I guess, but like
his
memory.
Wasn't it?
The implication, which I like more, is that no, this is just like you're like hallucinating a guy, and it's like it's your memory of him, and it's like it's you,
that is,
it's you forgiving yourself, not him forgiving you.
That is also what the movies and yes and no, but there's, I don't know, some of the dialogue was just like in a way that's like makes it seem like he's a Force ghost.
Sure.
He doesn't have the blue of a Force ghost, but it's still of the mind that it's like, I don't know, that's not what you say to a memory.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Your memory doesn't say, but I'm your memory. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that's fair.
If you're losing yourself and talking to your past, you know, part of you knows you're doing it, and you don't interact with. I talk to myself a lot, and I talk to other people by myself in my room a lot.
Yeah.
Right? That is not how you talk. The person does not talk back to me being, well, you're just alone in your room right now.
Sure, like, sure. You see that in movies and TV, though, all the time. Like, that's totally a convention.
Sure, yeah, that's fine. I'm hesitant. Okay, we're going to dive into another thing that I don't like. The use of force throughout the movie.
Okay.
So, like, the reason why I didn't like, I appreciated the Harrison Ford moment. The only reason why I didn't like about it is that it could have possibly been a force ghost, which would have added on to this other complaint of they abused the force in this movie. And the force in the original trilogy is used sparingly. It is used for significant moments. And like force in battles is one thing. Like that's fine. Like I'm appreciative of that, or in minor ways of like force mind tricks.
Yeah.
And then there's like, oh, Rey is throwing her lightsaber into the fire, and then a force Luke force
that one was
comes
dumb.
Back.
That one was dumb. I like Luke Force's coming back. I did not like him holding the thing. I was just like, this doesn't need to happen. Like, there's a better way that you could do this scene that does not involve.
They
us
had a little chat
this.
Sesh together, and were like, I didn't like that part about it either.
Yeah,
because
what I
think the force is valuable and is a thing to be used sparingly.
Yeah,
and it has meaning. And him, like, raising the thing, first off, nostalgia. Oh, that was the one time in the movie when I actually looked at you and rolled my eyes.
Yeah, yeah. So that, I mean, I'm going to pile on this scene. I think that is a wildly unsuccessful scene for what could have very easily been successful. Is there's, the version of that scene is she destroys the ship. She's feeling bad about it. Maybe she's thinking about throwing the thing into the fire. And then she hears, like, a voice and turns around and there's Luke's Force Ghost. And it's, again, very similar to the way that Obi-Wan's Force Ghost shows up all throughout those later two movies of, like, hey, you're about to do something dumb. I'm going to tell you to not do a dumb thing.
But it's for a moment.
And then I'm going to show up.
And then it's for a moment. Obi-Wan is there for...
No, not in Empire Strikes Back, there is a full-on long conversation between him, Obi-Wan, and Yoda. Obi-Wan and Yoda trying to convince him not to leave to go to... it's like a solid minute or two.
It's a scene, though. It's not like a...
Well, what I was going to say is, like, in my head, the thing that would work perfectly fine for me is that they still have that scene, and the scene might go exactly as it did. Someone else pointed this out. It's like, it is true. It's whatever direction Mark Hamill was getting in Last Jedi is not the direction he was getting from J.J. Abrams in this movie, and he was just not as good at doing the same stuff he was very good at doing in the last movie, which is bizarre. And maybe it's also, you know, editing has a lot to do with, like, a performance can be great in one edit and terrible in another. So,
sure.
You know, loath to place the blame anywhere other than, I guess, J.J. Abrams. But I would have been fine with basically most of the dialogue happening exactly as it did and that scene happening. And like, he basically convinces her, like, nah, come on, you know, yeah, you're trying to do what I did, stay here. No, that was dumb. That was wrong. And then, like, you know, it's that he shouts out to her or, like, snarks on her before she throws the lightsaber rather than he catches it. It also just looked dumb in addition to being dumb. And then if it had been like, yeah, you have everything you need. And then, like, I don't know, turn his head and look over and she sees it there. And then she's the one who raises it up from the water.
Yeah,
that would have been cool. And that would have been like it would have been a cooler moment to see her do it than to see him do it in beyond the fact that, wait, Force Ghosts can do Force now. That's dumb.
Yeah, absolutely. That I feel like that, in addition with the stealing of Rey and Kylo's, like, Force link or something in order to regenerate Palpatine.
Yeah,
that's not how the Force works.
Yeah, like, I'm more okay with that given that we had, like, it seems of a piece with the Force healing stuff that she's been doing throughout the movie. It is different, and it does feel like a stretch, but it was a stretch that I was willing to be like,
sure,
it's a contrivance, but whatever.
I think for me, in the context of all the other Force things that went wrong, of like, I mean, it's funny because now that I'm saying this out loud, I'm like, what other Force things were abused?
I mean, for me, it's really just the Luke Force
just the
scene
Luke.
Is really the only one that bothers me. Especially, and part of it why it bothers me is because there's a better version of it that was, like, right there.
Something else that I guess was the Force connection between Finn and Rey, and also sensing Chewie on the ship.
Oh, yeah.
And there were so many times when Rey was like, I have a feeling. And I don't know. I just felt like the Force was in so many more ways, like... I don't know, holding Ray's hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus being a guide.
Hmm. Fair, fair. Yeah, I think I agree on a few points. Overall, feel that less strongly. Again, other than do not like the Luke scene. Yeah. And also, again,
the Leia to Kylo part. And then,
oh yeah.
And then Rey also noticed it too. And then
and that one I was fine with. I think it was more that like.
It's not any of these individually. It's all of them together.
Yeah, and I think I wasn't bothered by the sum total of them. I was bothered by individually just the Luke one.
Sure.
And then the Leia one, it wasn't that I was bothered by the force of it all. It was, again, there's no real way to get around it other than to choose not to have Leia be a character in this movie, which could have been an also perfectly viable choice. The fact that it's like, in order to do this, you have to have Maz Kanata saying a line that will explain what it is, the thing that she's going to do in this shot that is a CG double of the back of her head because you don't have her doing this thing. And then like it's that like it worked fine in the movie, but it was like very clunky because they did not have literally just did not have the footage to be able to do the version of it that would have been better because Carrie Fisher sadly died.
Yeah. Rip in peace. Thing you liked.
Thing I liked. Hux being the spy. Hux being the spy is great. I loved it. It was a great scene. It was obvious. I felt like that, yeah, it's probably going to be Hux because, like, who else do we know in the first? It's either going to be Hux or it's going to be this new guy that we just introduced that Richard E. Grant played. And, like, it'd be much more fun if it's Hux. And then, like, the shit eating, and especially when it got to the scene where it's like, wait, I'm going to do my, I was like, okay, yeah, it's going to be Hux. And then the shit eating grin on his face is like, I'm the spy. I was like, yeah, this fits. And especially his thing of, like, oh, yeah, no, you guys suck. I hate you, other than Kylo's worse, and I want to fuck over Kylo, and that's why I'm going to help the rebels. It's like, yeah, it perfectly fits, and I like it. And again, though, because you can't have the good without the bad, another example of, like,
wasted character.
Consequences being thrown away. It's like a scene later that we shoot him where it's like, no, how much fun would it have been? Similar sort of thing for actually when once Kylo turns. How much fun would it have been if, like, then the rest of the movie, it was now Hux and them on a ship together and they have to deal with the fact that it's like, this guy fucking sucks, but he's helping us. And so how do we deal with this? Or same thing with Kylo of like, guys, don't worry. I saved Kylo's life. I've turned him now. He's good. And then Finn and Poe just finally being like, fuck Kylo. No, I think he's going to kill us. What if this is a trick? Blah, blah,
he's
blah.
Hitler.
And like, again, I mean, but that is one of those like woulda, coulda, shouldas. I'm not mad that it didn't happen, but I'm bummed that a thing that I think would have been cooler and had more opportunities didn't, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. Also, I think he got shortchanged.
Yeah.
Sorry. I think Hux got shortchanged because he was like one of the main villain characters in the last movie. And then like he just had to be a villain in this movie and killed early on because otherwise it would have been really strange if he just disappeared completely.
Yes,
I think
was
the only reason why he was kept on so long, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They had too many villains.
And I think also, again, this movie, it's so overstuffed with things that, like, in a movie that had more room to breathe and didn't have all the nonsense fetch questy stuff in the beginning, you could have spread him out a little bit more. Like, I don't think he necessarily needs to have more screen time, but it could have been more of like, yeah, Hux is an actual presence in this movie.
Yep.
And then the reveal that comes in, he's a spy. And even if it's the same way, it's like the reveal comes in, he's a spy, and a scene later he gets killed. It's one thing if we've had more scenes with him previous, the same way that we do in the other two movies.
Absolutely. I was kind of sad that he just kind of he died in like almost a comedic fashion.
Yeah, I was okay with that, given that like I think he's been most successful as basically a comic relief character.
Sure.
In these movies, especially in Last Jedi, that they really amp that up.
Yeah.
I think it works. So I was fine with it. Other than it was like, ah, man, I would have liked to get a little more of this. And also, there was probably some juice you could have gotten from. Oh, now we have to team up with Hux. Okay.
Yeah, that would have been interesting.
And it's also not really something that we see too much of in the Star Wars movies of, like, teaming up with an actual bad guy. You have, like, teaming up with Han Solo, who's a little rough around the edges, and, like, marriage of convenience there, but,
the code hacker.
Yeah, and the hacker guy, but you don't have, like, or, like, yeah, okay, he's a little rough around the edges, and he turns out to be bad. You don't have, like, you're the bad guy, which I guess is more of a, like, it's the thing you see more in James Bond movies or in, like, some of the Marvel movies where it's, like,
yeah.
Or the Mission Impossible movies, where it's like, you're an actual bad guy and we're actually enemies, but we share a common enemy, so we'll do this marriage of convenience.
Yeah.
Which would have been fun, but I'm not mad that it didn't happen. I just think it would have been fun if it had.
Yeah. I remember in the last time we did this, we had talked about hopes for the next movie.
Yeah.
And my hopes were that, like, Rey was going to turn evil.
Yeah.
And that Kylo and Rey were going to be
together. And to be fair, we said that kind of jokingly because we knew that wasn't going to happen. But
I still want to see a Star Wars movie where it does something like that, where it actually has an arc that does that.
Yeah, so I actually wrote down, because when I was listening to it, I was like, okay, what do we predict? Unfortunately, we didn't actually predict a ton. We kind of just said, like, this kind of stuff would be fun. And then we just sort of talked more about, like, Star Wars in general. But, like, yeah, it's going to be a big final showdown where everyone is split up, like, in the Battle of Endor. Check.
Yep.
There was a question of, will Kylo die? And then we never actually answered it, but he did.
Yep.
I said that I'm most interested in Kylo and Rey and where they end up on the light side, dark side, or some balance in between spectrum on both of them, which definitely we got an answer to on all of those. You said you want Rey to turn evil. Kylo and Rey are on an old decrepit Death Star, which we did actually get old
that
decrepit
Death
Star. That
is true, yeah. I got that one.
And then they destroy everyone. I was saying, yeah, I want there to be more room in the next one to tempt Rey, but she'll probably make the right decision and pull Kylo out.
Yep.
Exactly. I said, if Rey turns evil, I want Finn to be the one to kill her. Didn't end up happening, so.
Yeah.
Oh, this was an interesting one. What you said is, like, you know what I really want? I want a bounty hunter story, which we have in the new, like, Mandalorian Disney Plus TV show.
Yeah.
Actually ended up happening.
Watch that.
Poe will be the general. Yep. Hux will betray Kylo was one that you had.
Hey. Well, yeah, that was kind of obvious.
Snoke may come back into play. What about as a dark side force ghost? He came back into play in that we found out that Snoke is just a, like,
weird clone thing,
which that was the thing I said in the last episode. Is like, all I want is literally one sentence on what was Snoke's deal, and then we got one sentence on Snoke's deal, and I was I'm fine with this. I was saying it'll be interesting if Finn gets disillusioned and breaks off from the resistance because of the whole, like, oh, these guys are selling weapons to both sides thing, that all that stuff happens on Cantabite, completely discarded, has nothing to do with anything. Kylo and Rey become Sith gods and rule the universe. Here's the thing that I said that I got completely wrong. I was saying they'll have time jumped and Leia will already be dead by the time that this happens. She was still alive. And two, I think it's like, in between these two movies.
Very, very soon after.
You asked, will Kylo and Rey get it on? And I was like, I don't think so, but question mark. And then they kind of don't, but kind of do.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
It's kind of like, I don't think so, question mark. So all in all, we didn't have any particularly bold predictions.
No, we didn't. Sith Lords, you know.
The Sith Lord, yeah. The only bold prediction was the one that was not a real prediction. But like... We did hit the general thing of, like, yeah, it's going to be about Kylo and Rey, and, like, where do they end up on the thing? Yeah. The one good one was the decrepit Death Star thing. Like, that was one that was, like, you literally hit the nail on the head. Oh, actually, here's another thing that I like. This movie was very, like, from the moment of watching The Force Awakens, and then even more so in rewatching this week, I was like, man, I want them to do a fucking space Indiana Jones movie, because all these scenes with Rey scavenging in the old ruins of the Death Star rule. And it's just an aesthetic that I love, and it fits so well with Rey's character. And we got more of that in this movie on the old Death Star, as well as all the stuff that even it felt more like an Indiana Jones way movie in good ways, because we got all that, in also bad ways in that, like, it's just a bunch of fetch quests from thing to thing. I will say I liked the old Death Star. I liked them being in the old Death Star. I liked the fact that, like, she has her moment in the cave with the Rey double, is in, like, Palpatine's old throne room, that I'm assuming the reason that the vault opened up for her is because she's a Palpatine. Probably something like that. I liked all of the, like, them being in the caves on the desert planet, getting the old ship and getting the old ship up and working. It's like, yeah, it's an overstuffed movie, so probably there's some of that should have been cut. But for it existing, it was stuff that I aesthetically enjoyed a lot, because I like the space Indiana Jones vibe.
Yeah, there was, I don't know, there was a bit too much nostalgia. I feel like that could have been trimmed.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of, like, Lando did not need to be in this movie.
No.
Who else? What else did not need to be there? Why do they go to Tatooine afterwards?
Yeah. Well, I was fine. I mean, I was fine with it because it was quick.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason why I didn't like it is because it didn't earn it, but...
Yeah.
Like, that could have been a good... Because, like, what, the ending scene was just, like, one of the opening scenes of...
Mm-hmm. And that's right. Like, I did love, I mean, because I'm just such a fucking sucker for the shot of anyone looking up at the twin sons of Tatooine where it's hazy in the background.
That was very
like,
good shot.
It's like, yeah, there's a reason why if there's probably one single moment in all of Star Wars of like a literal like 20 seconds of screen time where acting and cinematography and special effects and music all come together, it's that scene in the first Star Wars movie where Luke looks out and the Force theme starts to play and you see the twin sunsets and it's like, there was like, it was a little cheap that it was coming back to it, but it's like, at least you're coming back to the single, for me, at least most affecting single shot of the whole nine movies.
Yeah.
So
it's just the nostalgia that just, it pulled too much of it. Like it would have been good if that was if they used it sparingly, but they did not.
Mm-hmm.
Like they even used the nostalgia on her getting on her little, going down. They even played the music, and it's like,
well, no, that one was good though, because like, yeah, because that's Rey's theme, and Rey's theme is, and that's actually another thing that I was gonna shout out as good in this movie as it always is, because John Williams is just a very good composer. This is John Williams' first ever on-screen acting credit.
Really?
Is he's the one-eyed bartender in the like alien bar in Kojima that they go into. And I liked themes and leitmotifs in the new trilogy, Rey's theme is far and away my favorite, partially because it's also just like, it's a different thing than what has been done in Star Wars movies before, of like having these like piccolos and this sort of like flighty melody that sounds more like some of your work in the Harry Potter movies than it does in the like your Star Wars work. And I think they use it in some interesting places. There's like undercurrents. I think it's in that Palpatine throne room scene on the like old Death Star where she's like examining it, where I think that they weave in the Imperial theme and Rey's theme together in a really interesting way.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's kind of fun. So I was fine with that, given that I love Rey's theme as a piece of music a lot.
Okay.
And at least that one was fitting of like, all right, if you're going to go, if playing Rey's theme when she, it was kind of dumb that she did the sliding down thing, but if she's going to do the sliding down thing, probably you should play Rey's theme then.
Yes. Sure, music-wise, fine, but anyway, it was just
long tangent on me liking that particular piece of.
It was just pulling on the nostalgia, like, oh, we got nostalgia, more nostalgia here, more nostalgia there, and it was overdone of all the nostalgia stuff, and it was just cheap and
You know what? Big fucking elephant in the room on one genuinely great part of the movie that we have not talked about at all.
Boy.
The standout, the MVP, my boy, Babu Frick.
Yes!
Babu Frick fucks and slaps. Babu Frick is my guy. Babu Frick rules. Babu Frick, and both, it's great, but also it's the example of the kind of things that Star Wars does well, is like, this is a baffling choice.
Yeah.
How on earth did you come to this? And it was perfect.
It worked so well.
It was exactly the choice that you should have made, and it's a truly insane choice.
There were a lot of small moments like that, like Babu Frick, that worked throughout the whole movie. Like the force skipping was a really cool...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just short sequence where it's like, okay, this is badass and cool.
Another example, though, of consequences that were thrown down is the whole thing is like, oh, the ship's on fire and you destroyed the ship. And then it's like, J.K. rules were fine in like 20 seconds.
Yep,
anyway.
Ship's fine. Ship's great.
BB-8 got hit by a tree and BB-8 was fine.
Yep.
I agree with you on the force skipping in and of itself was a cool, cool standalone moment.
A lot of cool standalone moments throughout the movie that did not chain together too well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that Bobby Frick of like this weird fucking puppet. This weird fucking puppet that kind of has this like Eastern European accent and is like speaking basic as a second language.
Creepy and cute at the same time.
Creepy and cute at the same time. Totally is like this old like ILM, exactly in the style of like an old ILM puppet from the 80s, from like a Labyrinth movie or whatever, or like a Henson puppet from back then. And it fucking ruled, and it was fun. It was like actively funny and so weird and off-putting, but off-putting in a really, you know, like a fun way that I love. That like it feels like the weird shit of like R2-D2 and C-3PO as like main characters of your movie are fucking weird, and it's like it's weird in that same way that like we're not going to explain this. This is just a weird thing that you love because
fucking Star Wars, man.
Because somehow it like perfectly hits at your synapses. This rule. So yeah, Bobby Frick, one of the few unmitigated great parts of this movie.
Yeah. Hello, I don't even know C-3PO's introductory line.
Yeah.
What's your name? I'm Babu Frick.
I'm Babu Frick.
And then later on, oh, Babu Frick, he's one of my oldest friends.
And that was the thing. It's like, I was, again, frustrated by the fact that, like, this is one of 17 consequences that we do not get to, like, actually, we say as a consequence and then we undo 20 minutes later. I was really happy to see Bobby Frick on. It's so, he shouldn't have been on the plane. It made no sense in the world, but it was fun to see him there.
Yeah, there was something I didn't like was Poe being a spice runner. It was built up during this movie and this movie alone. Like,
yeah,
he can hack into this. How do you know how to force skip? How do you know how to jack into this speeder?
And especially because it was the kind of stuff that I would not have questioned if you hadn't called it out.
Yeah.
If Finn hadn't been calling it out, I'd be like, yeah, he knows how to force skip. He's Poe Dameron. Yeah, he knows how to hot rod a thing. He's Poe Dameron. Poe Dameron's like this, like,
He's not this goody-goody two-shoes.
No, he's a 1950s, like, movie serial character. And, like, I literally never would have questioned for it. I was confused as to why Finn was calling it out the first time walking through. And then at the end, it was like that weird sort of back justification where, oh, it makes the Spice Runner thing only works if you have someone calling this stuff out, but, like, it didn't make sense to call that stuff out unless you were building to the Spice Runner thing. And it was like, okay, because, like, the idea of Poe having a kind of shady past, I was like, all right, yeah, that's an interesting thing. It's like,
makes sense.
It makes sense. It wouldn't have been a thing I would have thought of, and it wasn't a thing I cared about until we decided to call it out. It did lead to a great line, one of the many, like,
you're
fun
a Spice
lines.
Runner, and you're a Stormtrooper, you're a Spice Runner, and you're a Sounder. We can do it all day.
We can do this all day. It's like, yeah, okay, cool.
Great line.
Good moment for it.
Great line.
But, yeah, I agree with you. It was, like, fully built up in this one movie, and it was built up kind of ham-handedly.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just out there and, like, okay, that's unnecessary and frustrating, most of the things in this movie.
Yeah. And also, especially, like, I think we touched on it before, there isn't any clear analog from the old trilogy into the new trilogy of a full-on one-to-one of everything. And I think this is more true in, like, Force Awakens and Last Jedi, that people felt like they were a split. I think I agree that, like, Rey has become more clearly Luke than she was in the first two movies, where she
and
was
the other
a
two are very
a,
clearly not anyone specific.
Yeah, but if anything, like, Poe is more the Leia. I feel like Poe is, emotionally speaking, Poe is more the Leia. Finn is more the Han Solo. Or actually, that felt more true in Last Jedi. In Last Jedi, I was more like, and Force Awakens, I was more like, oh, maybe it's like 70-30, a split between things like that, but it's like Poe's 70% Leia, 30% Han Solo. Finn is like 70% Han, 30% Luke.
That's the thing is Finn is Han Solo is not a good person, and Finn just is.
Like, yeah,
Finn's a good person.
Yeah, but he had a similar arc, I guess. His arc most mirrored that of his arc most mirrored that of Han Solo, I feel like. But then in this movie, it got way more muddied on their side of, like, well, one, because they didn't have anything to do other than, like, be along for the ride and quip, and they didn't have arcs in and of themselves. And two, Rey fully became a Luke analog.
Yeah.
And then Rose didn't get to be in this fucking movie, which sucks.
There was also, like, normally I don't think about the logic of things in Star Wars movies, because, you know, it's not what Star Wars is about a lot. But there was Finn and Poe being generals. Mm. Why is Finn a general?
That what I was fine with, because it's like, okay, you shouldn't make Han Solo a general after he flies in one battle. Like, you shouldn't make Luke a general after he, like, yeah, he blows up the Death Star, but, like, he just, like, flies in one battle and now he's a general. Yeah. Like, you shouldn't make Han a general.
Okay,
for
that's fair.
I think that was one that was like, this is just a contrivance of a Star Wars movie that's
sure.
Like, okay. Yeah, all right, whatever. There's only three of them we care about, and so we'll make them generals after their first fight.
I guess maybe that's the issue, is, like, when everything else falls apart, then I start to, like,
It's actually, I think we talked about Indiana Jones briefly, so I guess it means I can't cut it out. I think I use Indiana Jones or Raiders of the Lost Ark as a good example of, if you are not along for the ride of a movie, there's stuff that, like, you can tear that apart to shreds in that movie, of, like, in particular, the, oh, he would have died being on this, like on the top of this submarine for like a giant ocean journey where presumably they go underwater. And yeah. you don't give a shit about that in the slightest because you're totally bodying along for the ride. And so it's like this, like the cinema sins or, you know, top 100 things that are wrong about blah, blah, blah. Those things only start to bother you if you're not plugged into the movie or if it's so egregious that it ruins you being plugged into the movie.
Yes.
And that's the problem with this movie is that like all a lot of these some of these nitpicks are like the things that pull us out of the movie. Some of these other nitpicks are things that like we're only noticing because we're already pulled out.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's definitely it. Which is annoying.
Anything else we want to talk about on the movie itself? I think otherwise maybe then the move will be to talk about like how does this feel as the end of a trilogy, the end of the nine star movie saga.
I feel like I have something.
We hit Rey, we hit Kylo, we hit Finn, Poe, the absence of Rose. We talked about the Leia of it all in bits and pieces. And yeah, how it was cobbled together or written around cobbled together scraps. And I'm of two minds about it because I appreciate that she's in the movie. But at the same time, makes for a good meta tribute to Carrie Fisher to have her have a large part in this role in this movie, especially given by all accounts the plan was always first movie is Han's movie, second movie is Luke's movie, third movie is Leia's movie.
Yeah.
So I meta appreciate that, but it makes for a worse movie on its own because of the fact that was the choice they decided to go for.
Yeah. Which is I can't think of anything.
Oh, I kind of liked, though it also like was done in a flash. Like I liked the implication of like, oh yeah, it wasn't even an implication. We knew it from Return of the Jedi. Yeah, Leia's Force sensitive too. I liked the implication of like, oh yeah, she trained with Luke, and it was kind of dumb the whole thing of like she gave up her training because she saw that her son would turn to the dark side and whatever. And it's like, okay, that's ham fisted and sort of weird, but it's like it was a cool idea. It was a cool little scene to get to see. I liked the idea of her continuing on. Yes. Luke's training after he dies.
Also, one of the few things they kept from canon was that lightsaber is like actually Leia's lightsaber. Yeah,
that's cool. I like the Rey had a yellow lightsaber.
I think that was an interesting choice.
Yeah,
because usually yellow represents the gray Jedi.
It's the Sentinels. I think was what I was hearing on.
Well, no, that's in like Knights of the Old Republic.
Okay.
Usually it represents it's like a gray Jedi.
Interesting. Okay.
So gray Jedi are like
that is different from what I've heard. But continue.
Like they're halfway in between. Like they're outcasts basically, and they don't subscribe to like light or dark.
Mm.
And they're you know they're somewhere in between. So I think that was a weird yellow choice.
Okay. Yeah. What I didn't know any of this, so this is all just like secondhand from listening to podcasts, that it was primarily the Jedi Sentinels who were the ones that had yellow sabers.
I mean, that's literally from Star Wars Knights of the Republic.
Yeah.
Like, which I sure can be canon, but I don't think that's like a... I don't know. That doesn't feel good.
Chill.
That makes sense. Because that's like a Knights of the Republic takes place like thousands of years earlier.
Yeah.
So it's like not a good.
I'm trying to think. I think it was on Binge Mode that they were talking about it. But God, I listened to too many podcasts and too many podcasts that also talked about Rise of Skywalker. Anyway, neither here nor there. Yeah, anything else on the movie itself before the meta conversation of the movie in context? So, how do we think about this as the third movie in this new trilogy of actually, here's what I'm going to say. Maybe not even talking about it as the third movie, but that we can have the part of it. Now that we're done with it, how do you feel about the new trilogy of Star Wars movies, the new Disney trilogy?
Ooh.
No, it's done.
As a full trilogy, how do I feel about the whole trilogy?
Let's talk about it as a trilogy in and of itself, and then afterwards we can talk about it as like the third trilogy of the Star Wars.
Yeah, I would say better than the prequels because of the through line of Rey. Mm-hmm. Like Anakin being the through line in the prequels just sucked because it was a bad actor.
Yeah.
So like that takes away from so much that you can't really fully recover from that.
Yeah.
But since I was still on board with Rey throughout this whole trilogy, it still felt good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say overall, I'm like satisfied with how it turned out, you know? If, you know, obviously a little disappointed in the ending, but I think as a full 3-movie piece, it I'll rewatch them someday.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm kind of feeling similar of, I mean, again, I can't deny that, like, Rey in particular, but also the character of Kylo Ren, the character of Finn, the character of Poe are, like, phenomenal additions to the Star Wars world. And it's hard for me to imagine a world that does not have them as part of it now. And I'm glad that now, I mean, we can go rewatch those old movies and they clearly weren't around then. But like, if you think about Star Wars, those characters are part of Star Wars now.
They are the Han, Leia, Luke, and
yeah.
And a very different, interesting take on Vader.
Yeah. And I also love that, like, for all the flaws of this movie, The Force Awakens and Last Jedi are two of my favorite Star Wars movies now, and two of my favorite movies I've seen in, you know, the last 10 years or whatever, and that can't be discounted. And then I think that, like, and I also appreciate that the approach taken on this, I think because the technology has now caught up to it, is use all of the tools and tips and tricks that we have, learn from the prequels, and say, we're going to make a thing that feels aesthetically, viscerally, filmmaking-wise, like that original Star Wars movie, or those original Star Wars movies. And, like, I think that's a very impressive feat that they managed to do that, to make a modern movie that feels like a modern movie, but also feels like I'm in a Star Wars movie from the 70s.
Yeah.
But I think, like, as an overall trilogy, movie for movie, they're better executed movies than the prequels. And especially, like, prequels have both script flaws and also execution flaws. Like you said, Hayden Christensen is bad at acting as Anakin.
Yeah.
The CGI looks bad because it was state of the art for 2000, but was like state of the art for 2000. And it looks extremely aged. Whereas we don't have those problems in these movies. They are, like, technically excellent films with, some lack of cohesion and lack of a point to them, the way that, for all its flaws, the prequel actually did have a lot of cohesion and a lot of point to it, and a lot of some of it was dumb about, like, I care a lot about taxation and representational government, but, like, it was clear he cared a lot about that, and the movies were a lot about that, in a way that is not true for this overall trilogy. So yeah, I definitely agree with you, better than the prequels. And again, this movie being my least favorite non-prequel, non-Solo Rogue One movie still means it's better than Solo, Rogue One, and the prequels in my book. Pretty close.
I enjoyed Solo.
I think it's pretty close to Solo and Rogue One. It's like those are, you know, 3.5 stars and this is a 4-star kind of thing. But
I don't know. I just watched Rogue One as well, and I not wrote Solo. And I really liked Solo.
I thought it was fun. I thought it was like, yeah, it's like, yeah, nice space friends. We're going on an adventure. But yeah, I mean, I think that, like, to reiterate what I said before, and now that we've talked about it for like 2 hours, the sin of this trilogy, at least in my mind, and we'll never know until someone writes a tell-all book, it's that it tried to split the difference between being tried too much to be a cohesive trilogy without doing what you need to do to make it cohesive.
Yeah.
And also was just too rushed. That, like, there should have been more time to breathe. There should have been, especially in a world where, like, you fire your director and then rehire another guy to come in the last minute. It's like, okay, maybe we're not going to hit it. I mean, we're going to push back the release date by 6 months. Okay. Maybe we push back the release date by a year, by 2 years, let it, like,
breathe
and make an actual, especially because now I'm an adult and everything goes by so fast, and I'm like, holy shit, it was only 2 years ago that The Last Jedi came out. Feels like it was yesterday, so I would have been fine waiting another year. But I think, yeah, I'm glad these movies exist. If all these movies did was, like, introduce Rey as a character, they would be a net positive in my book. And then they did that, and also two of my favorite Star Wars movies and a bunch of other characters I like and a bunch of cool ideas, particularly in The Last Jedi, that, like, even if they were undone in a later movie, that doesn't mean those ideas weren't interesting to think about and interesting to explore, and hopefully get explored in other media and in other people who watch The Last Jedi and are our age and then go and make a movie in 5 or 10 years and are using The Last Jedi as a thing they think about and riff on in whatever thing they make, Star Wars or otherwise.
I'm really curious how what Star Wars movies are going to come after this. Like what?
Yeah.
What that's going to look like.
Yeah, where do we go from here?
Every year?
We certainly aren't going to go in for the foreseeable. I don't think there's anything announced recently, which and I think they have said we're going to take a little bit of a breather and reevaluate. And at the very least, Kathleen Kennedy has said, like, we're going to keep going forward on a lot of Disney. She's the head of Lucasfilm. She's a super producer, basically. She was a producer on, I don't think, the original Star Wars movies, but like the Raiders, the Indiana Jones movies, the E.T., a lot of Spielberg stuff in the 80s and 90s. A lot, like most big blockbusters of the 80s, she was like the producer for.
Gotcha.
And then is the head of Lucasfilm when it got sold to Disney.
Gotcha.
So she's like sort of the equivalent of Kevin Feige, but with for Marvel, but without being Kevin Feige's role of like, yes, everything goes through me. I'm going to have a iron fist at sometimes to like guide these movies into being a cohesive set. So I don't know. I basically, what they have said is that like the trilogy is not going to be the atomic unit of Star Wars going forward. For now, we're mostly focusing on Disney Plus stuff. With The Mandalorian and the Obi-Wan show that's coming out.
The what?
There's going to be an Obi-Wan in between 3 and 4 Disney Plus show that's coming out with Ewan McGregor that I think is going to be in.
What?
Maybe it's 2020, maybe it's 2021, but it was originally going to be a movie, and they were like, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do a Disney Plus show instead.
Okay.
And I think there might be a couple other ones that are, I don't know, if in the works, but I don't know off the top of my head.
That's cool. I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
I got to watch. So Mandalorian, by the way, is that about a bounty hunter or is that about Boba Fett?
No, it's about a bounty hunter.
A bounty hunter.
Yeah, another random Mandalorian bounty hunter. And set after, in between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens.
Gotcha.
And that's an interesting show that, like, this is not spoiling the show itself, but, like, the conceit of the show is that this is not like Game of Thrones and Star Wars. This feels much more like kind of like a 70s proceed, like, you know, a Western show or something like that, where it's like, all right, just a different one story every week. And that was following the same guy, but like, all right, this is the episode's only like 30 minutes. It's like, this is the episode where, oh, my ship got stripped for parts. I'm going to go hunt down the Jawas that stripped my ship. And like the end of the episode is great. We got the parts back from the Jawas, and then like move on to the next thing the next week. And it's very sort of, honestly, again, Bryn's critique of this movie that she did not know she was making as a critique of this movie because she hadn't seen it, of like, there's too much action and not nearly enough room to breathe and not nearly enough slow parts, and the slow Western parts are the things that make Star Wars Star Wars. This feels like that. The Mandalorian is that. There's like an action set piece or two per episode.
Sure.
And the rest of it is like, it's a lot of like going through space deserts and like going on like space flights and talking to people in cantinas and bars and feels like that part of Star Wars.
I gotta watch it, man.
It's fun. I'm behind on it, but it's good.
Star Wars.
Here's a question. This year, interestingly, we got now the last, for now, Star Wars movie that is nominally the like conclusion of this whole Skywalker saga. And then we also got Avengers Endgame, which is the conclusion of like the last 10 years of Marvel movies.
Yeah.
I'll throw my cards on the table. Avengers Endgame is one of my favorite movies of the year, and I think it was phenomenal. And kind of like note perfect. And this movie kind of blew, as we've talked about for the last 2 hours.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts, or is there anything interesting to talk about on comparing and contrasting those two movies?
Well, one was a carefully orchestrated, well-written, well-produced, like, fantastic movie that was built up and over many, many years, and the other was kind of went through development hell, like, and tried too hard to please some people and just fucked up. That being Star Wars, obviously.
Yeah. And I just, now that I'm thinking about it, the like, they are even kind of similar in, like, a lot of Endgame is, I guess, spoilers for Endgame, it's kind of fetch questy of, like, we got to go retrieve the Infinity Stones, yeah, and we're going to go on this, like, time heist thing. But it's so much better executed than,
yeah,
the way it is in this movie. And I can't fully put my finger on why, other than I think there is something great about the conceit of the Endgame thing, where it's like they're explicitly going back into their past, and it's like a lot. It's a fetch quest done entirely through character moments.
Yes.
Rather than action set piece to action set piece to action set piece.
My only gripes with Endgame is they have a scene where they talk about time travel.
Yeah.
And how to do time travel right.
Yeah.
And then they don't do it right.
We got to listen to the A-Dub Club, episode one. Or you could be your own grandfather.
My God. It's as I had said in that time travel episode, it's fine if you mess up time travel.
Yeah.
But if you have a scene about how you don't do time travel right, and then you proceed to fuck up time travel, then I hate you.
Fair, fair, fair. Fortunately, no time travel in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
Which, there was a part of me that was like, I wouldn't be surprised.
That'd be interesting.
It'd be interesting. I wouldn't be, like, it wouldn't have been the, especially because what I had spoiled for me was that Palpatine's coming back,
yeah,
partially because it was spoiled in the trailers, and had been, enough people were talking around things that, like, something is up with the parentage, that I was like, oh, they're going to undo the Rey's parents are no one, and if they're going to undo Rey's parents are no one, that probably means she's a Palpatine. But that wasn't, like, explicitly spoiled for me.
Sure.
A thing that I was then thinking about was like, okay, how does this work? And among the, like, wild ideas, the one I'd actually, I dug it up. I had found it somewhere. I'd written, like, it was after Force Awakens, a big thing of, like, I was bored at school and I was like, all right, a lot of people are talking a lot of stuff about the, like, various race parents theories. I'm just going to write down which ones I like and why I like them and why I think some are dumb and just, like,
yeah,
go through that, like, 6,000-7,000 words on all this nonsense. And one of them was the Rey is a Palpatine thing. My whole big take on it was like, yeah, this could be fine. It'd be a retread of Empire Strikes Back and whatever. But all right, it'd be whatever. But my thing was, like, within that, I would much rather it be that she's a clone of Palpatine rather than she's a child of Palpatine. And the reason why I was interested in that was, one, because it's weird and different.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of weird and different. Two, because, like, cloning is such a big part of the Star Wars movies, and it'd be interesting to, like, take it from a clone's perspective. And
yeah,
you could do, which we didn't do, and I'm actually kind of bummed that we didn't explore this in this movie, is... it's an interesting counterpoint to Finn, where Finn is like, he's a good kid, got kidnapped and brainwashed by the First Order. Like, so you'd assume nature is good, but nurture was bad. And then you could have Rey, whereas the other, where it's like, she's a good person, but she's, like, secretly a Palpatine.
Yeah.
Her nature is bad, but she was, like, nurtured to be good. And then they didn't talk about that at all in this movie.
Yeah, that would have been a very interesting.
Could have been good. But oh well.
Yeah.
My big thing, my one that I preferred, was the idea of Rey being a Kenobi, rather than being like Obi-Wan Kenobi's kid. And this is very going off the rails, but whatever, we're 2+ hours deep anyway. Yeah. So the reason why I liked that one was because, oh, the whole Star Wars saga is not just the story of the Skywalkers, it's the story of the Skywalkers and the Kenobis. And you have all this thing of, like, the Kenobis are training the Skywalkers and the Skywalkers fight back against the Kenobis. And now you have the reverse of, like, it'd be Luke Skywalker training the kid of Kenobi. And,
yeah,
and, like, the grandson of Skywalker and the grandson of Kenobi, or granddaughter of Kenobi, like, now their duels are the same as, it's the same as the New Hope duel, but in reverse, where now the bad guy's the Skywalker and
the
good guy's the Kenobi. And it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then Last Jedi happened, and I was like, oh yeah, it's actually way better that she's no one's kid. It's much better than being a Kenobi.
For sure, yeah.
And much better than being a Palpatine.
That was...
Wouldn't have been cool if she was a clone, though. Though we got Jodie Comer for, like, a half a second, which is great.
Who's that?
Rey's mom. She plays Eve in Killing Eve. No, not Eve. Villanelle in Killing Eve. I'm sorry, Jessica, for screwing that up. assuming that you're listening 2+ hours into this.
Yeah. We can say anything right now.
We can say anything. This is real no man's land.
Yeah.
This is free.
Push it, 9/11.
That's true. Jeff Fuel cannot melt steel beams. What else we got? What else we got on this?
Star
the last
Wars.
Star Wars movie for the last little bit.
Yeah. Star Wars.
As basically, like, at least a third of our episodes are Star Wars episodes.
Yeah. Poe, Finn, Rey, Leia, Pippin. Pippin was in the movie for some reason.
Yeah, that's true. That was weird. I mean, I guess just because he worked with J.J. Abrams a ton on stuff.
Sure.
Fucking still so mad. Again, my two problems. Rose got sidelined, and they're like, they set up so many consequences that they did not pay down, and in fact actively cheated out of, which sucks.
Bullshit. Oh, what was in the... Oh, evilness. I think this was a circumstance of the hokiness of Star Wars just kind of did not blend because I wasn't on board with everything.
Sure.
But when they went into the big bad evil guy's lair with the huge chains and the darkness and the lightning and...
Yeah, yeah.
It just felt too hokey for me. Mm. It just felt
it's
like...
It's fair.
We're evil now.
Yeah. And I can see it.
Also, what were the crowds? Were those...
So I'm not 100% sure what I think...
I think it was like hallucinations, or not hallucinations, but like projections.
What I've heard, and I don't know, again, one of the many things that just like...
They are all the Sith.
It's not explained in this. Yeah. I think it's that they're like a thing called the Sith Eternal, who are like these cultists that have been living out on Exegol waiting for, or I guess working with Palpatine to like... I don't think they're actually Sith, but they're like cultists who support and like the Sith. Is what I've heard being the case. What I wish, and I think it would be much cooler, is if like they're the like force, basically the Sith force ghosts.
That's what I thought it was.
That's what I thought it was like, watching through too. And then I heard people saying that it wasn't that, and I was like, that's kind of dumb. And I would rather it be the thing that I thought it was. Of like they are the counterpoint.
I am all
to,
the Sith.
Yeah, exactly. They are the counter. Like, I'm all the Sith. I'm all the Jedi. And it's like, yeah, okay, cool. Then like have them. Oh, that was another scene that I liked. I liked I'm all the Jedi and having the voices of like everyone, including like the voice of Ahsoka, the voice of Hayden Christensen, the voice of Alec Guinness and Ewan McGregor, Qui-Gon Jinn, Mace Windu. They had them all. I was dope. I like.
I think it would have been really cool if I don't really know how cinematically they could have done it, and this might have been too much and maybe hokey. But if first off those were Force Sith ghosts, and then on the line of like if we're gonna go all out on fucking using the Force to its full extent,
yeah,
like when she says I am all the Jedi, then like Jedi ghosts all appear out there somewhere in some way.
Yeah,
I don't know how that would work. I feel like that would be probably pretty bad and hokey, but
it would work a lot better in a movie that I was on board with and was good up to that point. I could have forgiven. That's probably what I might take.
Yeah, I would have been like, yeah.
it would have been like, again, to counterpoint to Avengers Endgame, the scene of all of everyone starting showing up at the end, which is like objectively kind of hokey and dumb.
Yeah.
And it was so fine. Powerful and worked for me because it was like 2.5 hours into this epic movie of like, and it was so cathartic and it worked. It would have worked. Again, it was a movie that I was fully on board with the entire time and like saw 3 times in theaters despite being like 3.5 hours long.
Yeah.
I guess I've seen this 2 times in theaters as well, but that was sort of
Star Wars,
by circumstance.
So
and it's Star Wars, and that's going to happen.
You're morally obligated to see this twice.
This is true. Anything else? On the Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, yeah, that name.
Oh. Yeah,
what?
The Rise of Skywalker.
Why is it The Rise of Skywalker?
Because now she's Rey Skywalker.
Because she's Rey Skywalker now? Okay, because she renamed herself.
Probably also has something to do with the, like, hey, Kylo Ren returned back to being, I guess, Ben Solo, who is technically a Skywalker, but...
Sure.
It's probably, like, some thematic resonance to it, but...
I guess it's just a bad name.
Because all the actual Skywalkers are now dead.
Yeah.
But now there's a new Skywalker.
Force Awakens... Great name.
Yeah.
Because it's a beginning of a new series, new trilogy. So thematically in like the real world, it's a great name.
Yep.
Also because it's about like a new, in theory, it was about a new line of Jedi.
Yeah.
And like a new superpower of like, oh, it's no longer about the Skywalkers. Oh, Palpatine, well, fuck you. Anyway. And then what, The Last Jedi? That was great because, hey, guess what? This movie's all about Luke.
Yep.
And he's the last Jedi.
Yep.
And then he... dies and like Rey is she a Jedi, like,
yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, okay, yeah, are we gonna go, and again because I realized I didn't actually say anything about this, but it's a thing I think about a lot. A missed opportunity that I think would have been interesting, that is an interesting thematic thing for the overall Star Wars movies, and it's one of those cases where it's like it's the most interesting idea coming out of the prequels, and I loved that Last Jedi actually played around with this, is the prequels are all about like how dogmatic the Jedi are and how that actually kind of fucking sucks. And like,
yes,
the dogmatism of the Jedi as like, we're good, bringing balance to the Force means that we have to kill all the Sith and things like that. It's like, and being blinded by their procedure and their belief in their own goodness leads to the destruction of the entire galaxy, galactic political yeah. structure. And that it, you know, part of, and I always thought that like, oh, Anakin bringing balance to the Force, what that prophecy meant is that like, oh, he finally does it when he kills Palpatine later. Now that I'm thinking about it, which is kind of interesting, I only thought about this week, maybe Anakin's bringing balance, and this could have been fun to play with, maybe he's bringing balance to the Force was he had the whole cycle happen, is that like, he had there be this reign of the Jedi, and then we created the Sith, and or like brought the Sith into power, and then removed the Sith from power, but then planted the seeds for Kylo to come back and be like, nah, I want to be like my grandfather Vader, and had this like cycle going on and on. It's like, I would have been really interested, and they played with this in Last Jedi, and I kind of, you were talking about this earlier, of like, of course it's going to be binarism, and it's going to be this dumb yeah. duality of like, it's good versus evil. There's enough that they've played with in The Last Jedi and how The Last Jedi comments on the most interesting idea of the prequels to be like, maybe there could have been something actually new where it's like, there isn't this Jedi versus Sith. There isn't this good versus yeah. evil. There is balance to the Force for the first time.
Well, that's,
and then we yeah. didn't get that at all in this movie.
That's what I really – so like The Last Jedi, like if Luke was the Last Jedi and then Rey yeah. is kind of like –
kind of something else.
I don't really know. Like –
and it could have been an interesting thing. It's like, oh, Rey and Kylo, of like, they're this new thing that is
yeah.
like breaking beyond this binary mold. And that could have also been interesting of like, yeah, she's the daughter of the fuck. Like, again, I would have been okay with a good movie about her being the grandkid of Palpatine. It's like, that sure. could be a fun thing you could play with, is that like, yeah, you're have evil nature, but whatever, you can sort of transcend this.
Also, another slight side note of a fuck up of the Jedi texts. They were burned in the temple, and then they came back.
No. Area. That's in The Last Jedi. She takes the texts from the temple before Luke burns them. He doesn't realize that, but yeah, that's
oh,
the thing.
Really?
It's in The Last Jedi. Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Whatever. I just want to shit on JJ more. That's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
They could have done new things. Is the issue with this movie, and they
mm-hmm.
didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And Rian Johnson, he prepared so well to try to strike out and do new things and to break new grounds.
Yeah.
And then it was just, nope, we're Disney and we have to follow the scripture.
And I would have been fine with it if it was a good movie.
Yeah.
If it had been a safe but good movie, okay. I wouldn't have liked it as much as The Last Jedi probably, but I would have been fine with it. Yeah, I would have been mad the first time that I was watching this through if this was something that, like, it just shits on The Last Jedi and like, brings all this stuff that it's like, oh, guess what? J.K. Lowell's from the Inception. We did think that Palpatine was going to be her granddad or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I would have gotten – if this was a good movie, though, I would have gotten over the fact that eventually and said, like,
yeah.
no, these are three distinct different movies with three distinct styles and different things they're trying to go for, and they all execute the thing they're trying to go for well. Even if they like do them differently.
Yeah, that's fair.
The problem is this movie is bad.
Yeah.
In its pure formal structure of it all, that it's like, it's too fetch questy. It's too chock full of everything. There's no room to breathe. It sets up consequences that it cheats out on later. It doesn't give enough motivation to most of its core characters. Even a lot of the fun quippy moments between them, like, here's the thing. I didn't buy why everyone was mad at each other all the time and why Poe and Finn were mad at each other and like had a rivalry. Is like, it was fun to get them to quip at each other, but it's like, I don't buy them being mad at each other like this.
No.
So yeah. Yeah.
Frustration.
Apex Mountain for C-3PO though. And Rey is great. My favorite part of the trilogy.
What should we do? Anything to wrap up? I love Star Wars.
I do love a Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars are great. I'm going to watch every one that comes out at least twice.
Yeah. God, I want more movies with Rey. I want more movies with these folks, but then clearly they're so burnt out on Jake Star Wars movies that they're like, no, fuck, I want to be free of this torment.
Yeah.
Understandably, because they had to like, and what must it have been like to like be part of this crazy cavalcade of like,
Jesus.
Complete. That was actually an interesting thing is like, you get the sense from some of the like, interviews on press junkets and stuff like that, that like the cast liked working with JJ more than they liked working with Rian Johnson.
Ah.
And like, you'll see like, it's weird that like, it's weird given how nice Rian Johnson has always been to everything JJ did. Like, yeah, he kind of shit on some stuff in the movies, but like, he was always super nice in public and in press and things like that. And JJ has also mostly been like that, but there's enough sort of like on his part, on John Boyega's part, on Oscar Isaac's part of being like, yeah, there's some stuff in there that it's like, that's not what kids come to see Star Wars movies for. Like, I feel like I didn't get like, I'm more excited by the stuff I get to do in this movie and like, not in those exact words, but like that kind of stuff that I'm
yeah.
like, man, interesting to see what it's like on the, different people have different perspectives on the inside, and I wonder if they thought yeah. they were making a better movie than they did.
That's
and probably they did because it was too rushed and they didn't get enough time to like actually make a good thing.
That was what Jar Jar Binks in production.
Yeah,
how everyone on set loved Jar Jar Binks and they thought that he was going to be a hit.
Yeah,
and he was the most loved character in while
yeah,
they were
on,
filming.
Yeah, of everyone that's in the crew and on set.
And then it was hell high water. You've heard of the Jar Jar Binks Sith Lord theory, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's dumb, but it's fun.
I think it's very possible.
I mean, I don't at all think it's remotely possible, but it is very fun and I enjoy it.
Go watch the videos.
I've seen this stuff. It's like, I enjoy that it's a thing that people are thinking of. Clearly, that is not, in fact, the case of what George Lucas has tried to do.
It is cool.
It's a similar thing that I feel about, like, there's this whole, I started rereading it because I read it after, in the lead up to Force Awakens, or discovered it in the lead up to Force Awakens, but then started rereading it a bit this week, and then it's just like so long that I haven't got through this thing called like the Star Wars ring theory, which is like using a compositional technique that's part of a lot of like ancient Chinese storytelling and as well as a part of a lot of Wagnerian opera, where it's different than traditional Western like this then this then this that storytelling, or like the whole thing okay. that you're taught about in every writing class, where it's like you have the beginning and the introduction and the rising action and the climax and the descending action and all of that. Instead, this is a different style of like how you tell stories, where it's like beginning to then climax and then climax to the second half is a inverse of the first half kind of thing.
Sure.
And basically it's this big, big, long thing saying, here's how the prequels and the original trilogy together form this massively massive version of this ring construction that happens in like Wagner's operas and happens in Chinese storytelling, but is very different from Western storytelling. And it's one of those things that was like, yeah, this probably wasn't George Lucas's intention to actually go and do this, but yeah. It's cool that it's an analytical thing that you can pull out of it.
Yeah. It's
Star Wars.
The Last Frontier.
Go boldly where no man has gone before.
Something about... I used to know the Star Trek intro theme.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
I was going to make a Star Trek joke.
Yep. All about those Star Treks. Anything else? Anything else we want to say on Star Wars?
Use the Force.
Dope. If you've listened all the way through, congrats to you.
And
props to you.
I'm going
to
give you $20 if you message or email me. If you have a Venmo, I'm going to Venmo you $20 if you make it this far.
Shit, dog. Can I do it?
No, it's cheating.
Okay. After you've emailed Alex Wade to get your $20 Venmo to you, you can also find us wherever. I already made the joke about wherever not so great podcasts are found, but whatever. It's been 2 hours. Hey, it's like the Star Wars movies. Everything old is new again. We got to recycle. We got to rhyme. We got to like call back. Ray's theme is playing in the background right now as a callback to earlier. You can find us wherever you can find podcasts on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on Google Podcasts. You can also find us at our website, theadub.club. That's theadub.club. There you can find our topics guide. Our topics guide is where you can find all of the different things that we talk about, and if you click on a thing that you're interested in, you will find the episodes where we talk about that thing. Here you can click on Star Wars and this episode will show up. You can also click on us being frustrated at bad pacing and this movie episode will show up, which is a great little meta commentary to be frustrated about the pacing of an overstuffed movie, and then we're going to talk for like 2.5 hours about all of our thoughts on it. You can also email us at theawclub@gmail.com. that's theawclub@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at the AW Club. That is at T THEAWCLUB. Let us know, Bryn, let us know once you've actually, here's the thing. This isn't going to happen because you're not going to listen to this, but, and even if you do listen to it, you're not going to go through and actually do this. But what I'm going to commit to this now, Bryn, if you want to, record your thoughts on the last on Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker and send them in to me, I will play it at the end of whatever our next episode is. you will get an uninterrupted,
yes.
However long you want to talk about Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, you will have the floor, regardless of what our next topic is. That will be how we end out the episode. And this will hold true. If you listen to this, like, 3 years in the future, you can still hold me to it, and we'll do this. So that's a fun little meta game that we have here. This offer only holds true for Bryn. Anyone else can feel free to send it in, but I make no promises about including it in the episode. And with that,
A-Dub Club out.
A-Dub Club out. Yes.
So the beer in Star Wars is notorious for being blue, because it's made from blue wheat. Something not that.